Fuck that, and fuck you. I'm already on vacation, and this massive glass with a chunk of pineapple and a little paper umbrella in it says you can fuck right off. Get the on-call asshole instead.
This, my degenerate friends, is the SML Podcast's actual final show of 2021. Consider this to be its official introduction, you ungrateful plebeians. Now bugger off.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. A little bit of a different episode. This is going to be our final episode of the year. We're going to be taking a break. Jacob and Aki will be here later on in the show, but we're starting off with a bang because Chris and Purnell are here to hang out for the start. How are you guys doing?
Boom!
Howdy.
Well, there you go. You got it right there. That's how we're doing.
Oh, Chris, you're a dick. We have a special guest joining us today. Celia Schilling of Yacht Club Games. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you guys for having me on.
Go ahead, Purnell, you talk.
I was just saying thank you for joining us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, this is the third time we've had someone from Yacht Club on the game. I'm always happy when somebody comes by. Tell us who you are and what you do at Yacht Club.
Yeah, of course. So, hi, I'm Celia. I handle marketing, PR, and a little bit of licensing at Yacht Club Games. So basically, the entire campaign that you've seen for Shovel Knight Pocket Dungeon and Cyber Shadow and any of the fun stuff you see posted on social media or any type of collaboration, I'm the person behind it. And from the licensing side of things, any cool new Shovel Knight merch you may see on the market, like the Good Smile Nendroids that were announced a couple days ago. I had a hand in that.
Oh, wow. So what all are you personally responsible for? What did you unleash upon the world?
Everything that you saw for the Pocket Dungeon campaign and the Cyber Shadow campaign I was a part of. So in short, that, I don't know, I once made a really long, remember when everyone was showing the Twitter crop, where they're seeing how long their image could go? I made a really long propeller rat, and I thought that was cool.
That's really cool.
That's excellent.
Thank you. Life's work right there. There you go.
I was going to say, you know, something to be proud of.
Thanks.
Yeah, so you're talking about Shovel Knight Pocket Dungeon, just released. What is this game? Give us the rundown. Give us the sales pitch.
Oh, heck yeah. So Shovel Knight Pocket Dungeon is a puzzle action adventure with a dungeon crawling twist that we developed alongside Vine. It takes everything that we love about falling block puzzles and mashes it together with dungeon crawling roguelike aspects to it, and it makes something that's never been seen before. You're going to delve into this like confounded cube where there's like, it's basically it's the Shovel Knight universe that's all miniaturized into this weird world, and you're delving in with your pal Puzzle Knight trying to figure out how to escape and discover the mysteries behind it.
And it's all wrapped up into a puzzle game instead of your standard action platformer.
Yeah. And there's a lot of mysteries to discover, like, why are you stuck in it in the first place?
Exactly. Which is, you know, part of the story, which we can't give away on the show. I made it through, I think, the whole thing. I had a cheat, though, because thanks to y'all at Yacht Club, there's a lot of accessibility options in this game to make it playable for people of all skill levels.
So you can't call that cheating, though, because
for me, it is.
Just say, Joe, you're kind of, you know, calling it cheating at the same time as calling it accessibility.
Exactly.
What would Cole say? Oh, yeah, nothing. She's not on the show anymore.
Basically, if you're rocking accessibility features, that's not cheating. That's progress. But if you didn't want to use accessibility features, you got to own up to the fact that you didn't get past a certain stage. That is totally fine. You don't have to win. You got to work towards winning.
Yeah. Motivation.
Exactly, right? See?
I decided to just go ahead and kneecap myself by putting it on one, keeping it on one life, playing it that way. Yeah.
You know, good for you. What character do you play with?
I thought it was only Shovel Knight that I could play as.
Oh, no, there's... you can unlock a colorful cast of characters. Okay. Surprise! Spoilers!
Right. Well, I figured there must be, because there's... how much are we allowed to talk about this game, Joe?
Well, it's out, so...
Oh, okay.
What probably... avoid any endgame spoilers, so nothing past, like, I don't know, Iron Whale or...
I just downloaded this game 2 hours ago. I'm nowhere near the endgame.
Oh, okay, yeah, then talk about it. What's up?
No, I was just going to say, I saw that it has amiibo support, so...
Yeah.
Is that what amiibo. That's for?
No, the amiibo support is for aesthetic reasons. Go scan your amiibo, see what happens.
I will, but I have to do this podcast first.
And, oh, well, sorry. I'm sorry that this podcast is getting in the way of your pocket dungeon planning. Like
the hilarious part of this is I just sold my amiibo collection.
Oh, no. Even the Shovel Knight ones, which are, by the way, the only ones that are compatible with it.
Yes, unfortunately. I even had the gold one. I had the gold one, the original one. But I'm getting a Switch to give to my niece for Christmas, so it's worth it in the end for me.
Yeah.
And then someone else can use those amiibos to unlock cool bonuses in Shovel Knight.
Indeed.
Joe is demonstrating true chivalry.
Yeah, chivalry. I think so too. Well, that's very noble of you.
Yeah, I figured I've had them for a long time. They've been sitting on my shelf for a while. They could go to a new home, get some new life. The guy who does it is a blogger. I think his name is Mr. Nintendude. He has his own Instagram, and he does like photo shoots of the amiibo, and he's already done a few of some that I sent, and I'm curious to see what he does with the Shovel Knight ones. So what do they do in the game?
It brings upon a familiar fairy friend. It's only aesthetics. Nothing wild or crazy happens. So you just see a cute little Shovel Knight fairy if you're familiar with them from the original series.
Yeah,
totally.
They're adorable. I love the fairy.
They are cute.
That's probably some of the best amiibo usage I've seen in games, is having the little fairy follow you around.
Oh, thank you. We actually had them appear in Cyber Shadow, which was our most recent published title.
What are they doing in there? Is that also by scanning an amiibo?
They're living their best life. That's what they're doing. For that, they would assist you in different ways during your ninja action adventure.
Man, now I got to go back to Cyber Shadow and find that.
Right, yeah.
Which, by the way, that game is fantastic, too. I think I reviewed that for the show, played all the way through it before we got to the episode. I was like, this is fantastic. So, well done for that. And so, any marketing you put towards it, all the better, because it definitely piqued my interest enough to be like, you know what? Let me push all this off the table.
Thank you.
So
clear the schedule for Shovel Knight. Yeah, what led to the decision to go with a puzzle game for Shovel? Oh no, I think my internet's dying.
Oh no.
Uh-oh.
Is everyone still there?
Yeah, I'm
still here.
Yes. Oh, this is fun. My internet flashed off. Did my voice disappear at all?
I don't think so.
Cool. So this is just like a really shitty show. Oh, man. My internet flashed off on my computer, and I thought everything was going to hell. So,
are you getting like weird windy issues up there or something right now? That's been happening a bit lately around here.
Yeah, it's been some crazy weather. Gotta love the East Coast. How's things on the West Coast?
Oh, it's also windy. We got a wind warning or torrential warning or whatever it was, because it's mildly inconvenient outside. So that's California for you.
Oh my god, died that fast. Okay, so due to the fact that I clearly suck at your game, give me and therefore the listeners the 411 on what makes this gameplay tick. Like, what's the gimmick? What makes it different?
I would say, okay, so there isn't one particular gimmick that's like, wow, like this is what makes the game. I would say it's a collection of all of the aspects of the gameplay. You know, not only do you have like really fun puzzle aspects to the game, but it's also a roguelike. It also combines the colorful cast of Shovel Knight with their unique personalities, but really delves into its own, I guess, its own right in this type of game. The customizability, so like, let's say you're like our buddy and you need a little bit of extra help, there's infinite lives. There's also stocks. There's also a timer, so when you're playing, you can see how fast you can get through the levels. There's relics where you can customize your gameplay. Basically, the game allows you to choose how you want to get through the game. And in addition to that, if you explore the story and you really pay attention, there's a bunch of really fun secrets there that just make the whole experience complete. So that's the hook for the game. Everything. Oh, and the music. Oh my gosh.
I was oh God, the music in this game. Familiar name for people who have followed SML for a while. Our friend Jake Kaufman is doing the music. What's it like getting Jake involved with this?
Jake is amazing. He is a musical genius, and he did not need to go that hard for this soundtrack, but he did. Every song is a banger. I can't handle it.
He goes that hard on everything he does. There is no, like, first gear for him. It's all the way pedal to the metal all the time with him.
Yeah, he's a genius. I'm really lucky, like, to be able to call him my coworker.
He's kind of like Tim Fallon, if Tim Fallon liked his job in video games.
Oh my gosh.
Is Tim Fallon not a fan of what he does?
No, he's notoriously cranky about his career, but it's, you know, his career is making some of the most, like, over the top, like, just master level 8-bit and 16-bit soundtracks ever heard.
True.
And I mean, if you listen to Tim Fallon, then you hear, you know, a lot of, like, what would become like Vert and a lot of the other really good modern composers, I would say. But yeah, Tim Fallon, notoriously kind of a crank when it comes to...
And Jake because, is just, you know, the most laid-back dude I've ever met. He is always happy and willing to talk to people and just chill out with you. And his music is just top-notch. Again, how did he get involved? Is he part of the studio? Is he with you guys now?
So Jake is with us now, but previously he worked with the team. Like, I mean, like with our development in general, music is always heavily involved, but like for the original Shovel Knight, but for this, it was as well. Like, we called him back and we're like, hey, you want to be able to do this with us? And he's like, yeah, of course. And then as we worked closely together, it just kind of happened where he ended up joining the team. So it worked out for us. So now we have him on board and we can have him for all the other fun games.
Oh, he's like an employee there now? Like directly?
Yeah.
Like,
he has an office in our office. And I can like drop by and say hi anytime. We actually did a listening party for the King of Cards soundtrack because we never did that. Because after release, you know, the whole world ended in 2020.
What? And that, cool thing that. What happened?
I don't know, just this little thing. Just a little thing that happened. Everybody don't worry about it.
Old.
Oh, geez. So yeah, Jake and I finally got to celebrate it, so that was really cool. But yeah, he's an overall really nice guy.
Yeah, that's really awesome. You mentioned the pandemic. How has that affected game development at Yacht Club? What did that? Were you guys a remote studio? Are you now a remote studio? What effect did it have?
So, this is a disclaimer. The pandemic has affected everyone in different ways, and some people harder than others, but no matter what happens, you know, the whole world was changed. For our studio, we for a long time were at home. Right now it's hybrid with vaccination. So you can go into the office if you choose to, as long as you're fully vaccinated and, you know, we follow the protocols and whatnot. But for actual development for these projects, of course, you know, it's affected because, you know, it's a pandemic. But luckily for us, like when we were working with Arne lived in Finland. It's not like he was going to come into the office anyway. And that's for Cyber Shadow. For working with Vine, Russell lives in Washington. So it's not like he was going to come into the office anyway. So I guess for our side of things and our progress, you know, it took a little bit to get used to. But it didn't exactly hinder development like you would imagine a normal everyone's in the office type of productivity. But having everyone all together, like, you know, the creative juices are flowing. You can share ideas easier because you're like in person and it's more convenient. But I think we were able to manage quite well.
And there's so much that you can't convey in text as you can over voice or in person with gestures and facial emotions. So being in person, it just makes things easier, I guess.
I agree.
Yeah, right now, like when from the start of the very start of the pandemic, like I pretty much went into work every day, and it was good because, you know, when everyone else was pretty much at home, I had the office to myself. But every once in a while, I had to deal with stuff with the coworkers, and I pretty much agree. It was impossible to communicate, or just frustrating to communicate over the Zooms with everyone being really bad at using it.
Aren't you excited about Teams now, Purnell?
God, no, don't bring that up again. Teams is abysmal. I hate Teams. I hope your office doesn't use Teams. Please use anything but.
No, we use Slack, so it's a little bit easier. But we also use Discord, and I'm used to using Discord, so...
I really do have to move the show over to Discord. I apologize to everyone who comes on that I'm still stuck using Skype, but it's just so much easier. I don't know.
I mean, it takes a quick adjustment. It's Discord, and I suck with all this stuff. So do it.
I'll have to retry Discord. 2022 is going to be the year of SML finally making a Discord somehow. I don't know how to do it, but...
The I'll year learn. Of Discord.
Chris, well, you can teach me. You have a Discord.
Okay. Gonna Google Discord right quick.
I swear to you, we are not a seal full of old fogies. We do understand technology.
You just use the word fogey, so...
hey, it's not because
I'm telling you we're not that old.
I set the trend. I don't follow them.
Good.
Oh my god. But like, so like, out of curiosity, if you're like, what was it that got everyone that's on the team to go, you know where Puzzle Night needs to be? Pocket Dungeon. Because I mean, what was it? We had Shovel Knight, and there was like the wealth of, you know, DLC related to the game, which honestly, kudos and a half to Yacht Club Games for doing that Kickstarter for this game and then sticking with it for all those years when they could have totally walked away from it. But after it was all done, like, so far I've been playing this game while the show's been recording, I've been enjoying it. But I can't help but wonder what got everyone to decide, you know, we need to go to a Pocket Dungeon. That's the next step for Shovel Knight gameplay.
Okay, so first off, we've always imagined Shovel Knight as like an all-encompassing franchise. So it's not that he's particularly, we initially were like, platformers only, but it's a character that could be in many different worlds and different like types of methods of play and be like, okay, it could be in this genre or that one. And
I mean, to date, Shovel Knight has been in how many games and genres? It's impressive.
Like 48 official ones.
That's it? That's it?
Official. official ones. And there's a bunch of tributes and like little nods to the Shovel Knight series. It's been a lot. For the 7th anniversary of Shovel Knight, we actually did a cameo list. And so that's why I know the exact number.
Oh, no, I'm going to have to look that up.
It's on our website, yachtclubgames.com. Go check it out. So it's that. Okay, but why puzzles? Okay, so this story is broken up into two parts. First off, we love puzzles and we love roguelikes. And Yacht Club Games, our love and passion of gaming is kind of like it's a pillar. It's kind of one of the things we stand for. We don't just want to make games that you love. We want to make games that make you love gaming. And that applies to all genres. So, transitioning stories. So initially, we didn't come up with the idea. That wasn't on our radar besides our love of puzzles in our hearts. But one of my colleagues was hanging out on Twitter doing his thing, and he saw this guy, Russell, a.k.a. Vine, posting these really cool GIFs about a game called Puzzle Knights that he was going to release like the following week. And it was this roguelike puzzle action adventure that was never really done before. It was a hybrid that, you know, David never had heard of. So he saw it. He showed the team. We're all big puzzle fans. So everyone's like, okay, reach out to him. See if he's interested in possibly working with us. And one of the reasons why we were so interested in this, besides the fact that it was a combination of two cool genres, was that it kind of really fit to what the Shovel Knight series is. Like, it was a bunch of fun, cute characters. The pixel art was beautiful. It had knights in the title. Some of the monsters actually were similar to like what we have in Shovel Knight. Like, they had skeletons, they had blobs that, like, you know, kind of look maybe like blorbs, could fit. Also, they had ghosts. So it just kind of felt like the perfect match. So we're like, oh, let's reach out to him and see what happens. And the cool thing about Russell is that he's always down. He's such a cool dude. And we're like, hey, like, do you want to work with us? And he's like, well, it's going to release this game like in a week, but why not? Let's see what happens. And 3 years later, we created Shovel Knight Pocket Dungeon.
Oh, wow. 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah, he was going to release it a week later. I'm glad he didn't, because this game is beautiful.
Like, did it start off with you going in hoping to do just a cameo, or were you guys really looking to kind of make it a Shovel Knight property and take over the game, I guess? I don't know how else to just absorb it into your world.
I'm actually not sure the exact intent. I think it was more of a sense of seeing where the relationship could go. Rather than a, hey, let's do a corporate takeover.
No, I didn't mean a corporate
like that. You know?
I didn't know how to word it. It's like the friendly hug of, like, we want to be the face of this game. We want Shovel Knight to not just be a cameo, but be the star of the game.
Okay, I get where you're going with that.
Yeah, it's just poorly worded because I'm an idiot.
No, it's totally fine.
No, I'm an idiot. True.
It's not like we're like the mean guys going to Russell being like, hey, kid.
No.
For you. Hey, pretty nice puzzle game you got there.
Would it be a shame if a show? No, I'm kidding. Okay, no, it's one of those things where, yeah, we wanted to reach out and see because we thought it was such a right fit. And, you know, we just wanted to see where the relationship could go. Because either or, you know, we don't just want to, you know, make games. We also want to play cool ones.
Yeah.
So if he was like, no, we still would have played it anyway and been like super excited about it. And I've actually played Puzzle Knights. Fun fact. I got a key for it, the original version of it. And at its core, Shovel Knight Pocket Dungeon has kept those mechanics. There's actually certain assets that I'm like, oh, that's where that's from. That makes sense. But overall, the game is completely different. So it evolved into something new and something magical and great.
What additions did Yacht Club bring to it?
Oh, a lot. So in the beginning, Puzzle Knights, like, you know, it was really cool and it was really fun. Trust me, I had a great time with it as well. But like, it was more, I guess, less bells and whistles. There wasn't chaining with relics. They were called blessings at the time. Fun fact, in our dev controls, they were called blessings still. So for the longest time, I called them the wrong name. But anyways, I digress. So basically, like, you would combine relics after you would go through a level, and that's what you use gems for. It was just a different game. It was more simple. And when we started working together, that's where it really started to expand. We wrote the story for it. We helped with polishing a little bit. We were really hands-on with the development process. Russell needed more hands on deck. He is a one-person developer team. He is Vine Studios. Well, Vine, sorry. And so we brought, like, together Mig. He's a talented, super talented pixel artist. He did 90% of the pixel art in that game, and it's gorgeous. Like,
that's a beautiful game.
Yeah, very nice.
His name's Michael, and he is fantastic. But yeah, so we brought him along. We also brought in Caesar and Juju, and I'm probably forgetting names right now. I'm so sorry, guys. But we brought in like a heck ton of really fun and talented people to help him get the job done. So we really built a team around that as well. And it just was like a completely collaborative process. Like, there's tons of things in there that I'm not even sure whose idea it was, but it's funny and I like it. So, everyone was hands on deck. And I'm really happy to see how it's evolved into something really beautiful.
And it's amazing because I swear, like, I love me some puzzle games. Like, anybody in the show will tell you that I play these things by the dozen. And I'm sitting here trying to wrap my head around, like, how some of these mechanics work. And honestly, it's like a lot of times, like, PR will say, you know, this is unlike anything that's ever been done before. But I stand by what you say 100% in that as I'm doing this, I'm like,
yeah,
you
this
know,
is unlike I, anything else. It really is. It
really is. Like, I got to the enemy, the gold clangs, where you're trying to run up on them, and when you hit them the first time, they put their shield up, so you can't actually attacking him again from the same side, and based on how the gameplay itself works already, that can really screw you up. We're like, okay, I can get around these guys to finish him, but there's blocks in the way and poisonous jellies, which when you kill a poisonous jelly, they leave a puddle, and which hurts you when you walk over for a few rounds.
It's, I just got some boots that made me immune to that, though, or something. No, it's the
Nimbus Cloud, yeah. Shot.
Yeah,
oh. Okay, so Nimbus, you would go above. There's a bunch of different relics that you can combine for different abilities, so it's probably one of them. Okay. But, yeah, what's cool about that, which I think is so creative, I'm not sure how familiar you are with the original Shovel Knight series, but the gold armors that you're referring to, when we were deciding, like, how exactly the characters would translate, it's like, well, how do they normally attack? And in the space of Pocket Dungeon, what would make sense for that world? Like, for example, like gold armors, yeah, they have their shield in Shovel Knight, and they'll do the same thing, but having it in a way where you can chain it in Pocket Dungeon was really fun to see how that expanded.
Yeah. And I like the boss fights, too. I like how there's boss fights in a puzzle game like this.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I appreciated the mice, the flying mice, dropping down and then flying back up once they hit the bottom. I thought that was a nice little twist.
Yeah, propeller rats are the best. Yeah. I love them. Like, they're the best.
Is there a propeller rat plushie?
Oh, man, there should be. If we ever do create that, we will announce it on our social media pages and website. I'm sorry, it's marketing. where did that come from? Who said that? If there ever is, we'll be sure to let you know. But I wish. I will get a billion of them. My whole house will just be filled with them, and it'll be very inconvenient, but I'll be happy.
That's our one good idea for the show.
Gold stars!
So I got to ask... why no Xbox with this game?
I think Xbox would be really cool. But right now, when we were having focus of which platforms we should release on, it just made sense for this time. If we're ever, I guess, looking towards the future, you know, I don't know what would happen. But
it's not off the table. It's still a possibility.
I would say nothing's ever off the table unless it's like, I don't know, something that doesn't exist anymore. I was going to do a reference, like, unless it's an Apple Pippin, but I don't know if you guys...
I was going to say Ouya, but that's even better.
Thanks.
The Tiger R-Zone. Yeah, the N-Gage, that's a good one.
WonderSwan, I would love to play it on the WonderSwan.
Hey, the WonderSwan was actually an okay console. It just had nothing.
Was it officially released in America?
It was not. I don't think so. Or I haven't seen an English one. All I want is Princess Maker 2 on it in English, yes! And then I would be happy.
You are welcome on this show whenever you want.
Thank you.
Princess Maker is the jam. Especially
thank you!
Yes! My princess is the shit.
I have never played Princess Maker. What is it? Explain this to me.
You know what? I want you to go in blind. Don't tell him.
Don't tell him.
Is it only on WonderSwan? Is it in English?
It's in PC. Like, the beauty perspective, without giving it away, because I am going to respect your wishes on that. It got fan translated back in like 98 or 99, so you can just download the game and run it as its own file. And the sizzle, aside from the fact that we both like it a lot, is the fact that Gainax did it. Gainax being the guys behind Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Yes.
They did the game. So... get the game. It's free. You don't have to look. Otherwise, I think it's probably got a Steam release over the years, too.
I see a Steam release called Princess Maker Refine. Is that it?
It might
be. I wonder.
It might be.
There is a re-release for the Four Refined. I think it's voice acted. Don't quote me on that.
Ooh. Well, either way, it's worth your time. And if anything, you're getting a better version than we played back in the day.
Back in our day. No.
No, darn it! Don't fogey me.
Can't help it, Purnell. We're all old. I can't help it.
I'm young as all get out now. Wait, to the Playmobil.
Nobody believes that I'm old because my voice still sounds like I'm 13.
Hey, own that, man. That's a good thing.
Yeah,
that's what I've been doing for years.
Don't call it a comeback, you say. Yeah, crap, another old man reference. Well, I'm screwed. Whatever will I do? But yeah, like, I think you will love Princess Maker. And the funny thing about it, there's been Princess Maker sequels, but I don't think they've ever topped the second game.
And yeah, Princess Maker 2 is the best one. 3, Fairy Tales Come True, I've heard, is okay. but mm-hmm. it's just not the same. The it also
she sorry. Was pretty expeditions.
Wait, what did you say? I missed that.
I think one of the big issues for the third game was, like, do you remember the expeditions you could take her on, where you, like, sometimes there was, like, enemies that you could fight, like, in bosses that were out there?
Barely, but I think so. I remember the clothes that you could wear, and, like, basically there was, like, seasons. It's been a long time, so let's just go with yes.
Like, there's a couple of Princess Makers on the Switch.
Wait, there is?
Princess Maker, Go Go Princess, and Princess Maker Fairy Tales Come True.
So that's the third game, and then Go-Go Princess is, believe it or not, a board game.
Oh.
Now, there's so many cool spinoffs.
Oh,
learning so much about games that aren't Shovel Knight.
Me too.
Is there a Shovel Knight cameo in Princess Maker?
There you go.
I don't know, but maybe there should be.
Yes, that's it. I'd buy Princess Maker.
Who do you Shovel talk Knight? To make that happen?
I don't know. I feel like they would have to reach out to us. And then I would have to answer the email, and then I'd have to send it to the team and then pitch it. And if they're cool with it, then we would do the really cool legal thing, and which means we all high five. and then, whoa! And then, you know, it's the licensing process to let them put the IP in the game.
Or you could just make your own game called Princess Knight. And
oh, oh my God, I would love that.
Is working towards our goal to become get to the coronation, become Queen Knight, and of course, the expedition could be platformer segments that feature classic puzzle and Shovel Knight gameplay, but with a Princess Knight twist.
Ah! Whoa. Whoa, you should market this game. I'd buy it.
I would buy it too. Oh my God.
This game good work, team.
Oh my Lord.
I'm in. See, Joe, make it happen. Do your thing.
Yeah,
I'm still trying to find someone to make the SML game where it's just me collecting stacks of pancakes.
Well, I mean,
one day
that'll happen.
Maker.
I mean, you don't have to wait for a game; you can just do that in real life. But
yes, pancakes.
Yes,
pancakes are always. Are you a pancake or waffle person?
You know, I'm both, and it's for different reasons. So I'm a avid waffle eater. That sounds weird, but I go through phases where I eat the same thing for breakfast, and, like, I'll just go through chunks of time where it's, like, only waffles. So, like, I'll have my waffle, like, every day. So I just got over that. But I feel like pancakes, you got to make them from scratch. So it's kind of one of those things where I'll, like, be like, oh, this Saturday I'm going to make pancakes. So it's, like, a special occasion thing. So it just depends.
I do like pancakes. waffle and heart for life. Like, when it comes to, because waffles, you can do so much more with them. Yeah, like the Belgian waffle style.
Chip pancakes are so good.
They are. Yeah,
but so are chocolate chip waffles. And you still have the flavor pocket. So you can have chocolate chip waffles with some vanilla cream syrup and slap it in the pocket. Ain't going nowhere. And if you want to divide it up and you have a different type of syrup on every quadrant of the waffle, guess what? That's what it's all segmented out for. No
calls. Y'all, I have to go. I think IHOP is calling me.
Same, BRB.
We'll all just stop the show and go get food. What's the craziest cameo that Shovel Knight has had to date?
That's a good question. Okay, so there's one where he looks like a dinosaur, and it's in Dino something. It's like a pixel art game. I thought that one was really bizarro. Road to Redemption. He's on a motorcycle.
Nice.
Ride to Hell Road to Redemption game?
Yeah, he's riding. I think it's called Ride to Hell. I need to double check. But I know it's Road to Redemption, and he's on a motorcycle. And that was one of the first cameos. I think it was actually the first that Shovel Knight was in, because my colleagues thought that was funny. And I thought the game was cool. So they're like, yeah, put him in.
Game Road Redemption was that kickstarted game where it was basically trying to revive the Road Rash franchise style.
There we go. That's it.
Was in that?
he's in that, and he's on a motorcycle. I thought it was fake. I forgot which of my colleagues, I think it was Shannon, she told me about that. And I was like, you're lying. Like, you're messing with the new person. But no. No, that was real.
Get to on the road is like, if you could knock him off his bike, he could steal a shovel. Get me.
Dope.
Oh,
so, man. Is there or will there be a shooter night? That is to say, Shovel Knight in space. like as in a shmup title.
That would be really cool. But I don't know. You never know. It just depends who hits us up on email and is like, hey, can we put Shovel Knight in our game? The world awaits.
So what is Yacht Club directly working on right now?
So, we recently announced that there's going to be DLC for Shovel Knight Pocket Dungeon. We initially weren't planning it, but then we loved Pocket Dungeon so much that we're going to do it. So there's that. We also announced Shovel Knight Dig, and we're going to talk more about that in 2022, so keep your eye out. That's the game that we're working with Nitro on. And then Secrets.
Does it involve a secret night?
No, it's actually a Shovel Knight Waffle House Pancake House. It's waffles versus pancakes. What are you going to do?
I hope it has...
I spoiled the game.
Shovel Knight smoking in the dining room.
No, he's E for everyone. He wouldn't smoke.
Okay.
We need waffle, then pancake.
We need Nicotine or something.
Syrup. You just chugging syrup.
Oh my gosh. See, I want to play this game that doesn't exist. We're just making up these weird games. Pancake and waffle night in the house tonight.
Yeah, we have problems.
No, we have we have ideas. We have
solutions to said problems.
That's right. Put us all in a boardroom. Give us some Monstera's Pancake House and look the hell out, because magic's going to happen.
Yeah.
Shovelry.
Is Shovel Knight 2 ever going to happen? Like an official number 2?
I feel like we would skip 2 and just go to 8.
Not even 2 to 3. Just go right to 8.
Right to 8.
Oh, man, you could call it the eights of spades.
You're right. We could. So many opportunities there. So there we go. So I've revealed
Shovel Knight 8 will be out soon.
Shovel Knight 8 and Shovel Knight Pancakes and Waffles. Whoa.
Yes.
This has been a productive meeting, guys.
I know, right? So cool.
All of these ideas are going right in the trash.
Don't you listen to him. These ideas.
I do like the idea of a shmup with Shovel Knight. I think that would be a pretty nifty genre to bring Shovel Knight into.
Oh yeah, all the other nice options for him.
Yeah, I would love to see that happen with a lot of indie kind of mascots. Like make it kind of a parodious, but with all these characters,
that'd be neat.
I'd bring in my dream team would be Shovel Knight and Max from Mutant Muds, because he's already got the water gun and the jetpack. I mean, it's perfect. But he had that guy up.
Honestly, the Mutant Muds need to make a comeback too, so maybe they can reach out to Yacht Club Games. We can get, Mud Knight or Max Knight. I don't know, something.
That's so cool.
I'm assuming you probably came on this show not expecting us to talk about random gibberish and nonsense. You're like, let's come on and talk about some freaking Pocket Knight Dungeon or Shovel Knight Pocket Dungeon.
Yeah, there we go. No, it's totally fine. I'm enjoying a little bit of the brain break for a bit, so this is awesome. I've been living and breathing Shovel Knight Pocket Dungeon for months.
Well, when you're not doing that, what are you playing? Are there any games that you've been playing that aren't shovel related?
So I just started Animal Crossing for Switch.
Neat.
I brought my neighbor. Nice.
You're going to have a good time.
Thank you. I know. It's so nice. Besides that, I played A Short Hike for a little bit. A Goomba Stomp. I was on their podcast a couple weeks ago, and they recommended me playing that, so I played it. I also downloaded Phantasmagoria. It was on a Steam sale, and I was like, $6 for a game from 1995? Heck yeah.
That's some old school FMV stuff, too.
Yeah, it's great.
So cheesy. I love those games.
I know. I love those games, too. I'm an avid retro collector of all sorts. So
are they still uncensored on Steam? Because I remember having to do some kind of code when my friends were young. I think on the second one that had nude scenes. That Yeah, we lost our minds. We're like, oh my God, there's naked people in a video game? Is this legal?
Oh my gosh, I don't know, but I'm a degenerate, so I'll totally look that up.
Yeah, you're on the right company then.
Yeah, we like degenerates on SML. I can't even say the word. That's how terrible we are.
We're going to get along in this Waffle House.
Oh boy. So yeah, there's that. So I got that game. Now I have to keep an eye out for those things. Besides that, I played, this is a little bit farther back, but I played all of the Danganronpa. I don't know if you played those games.
Nice.
Yeah, you're in good company. Oh, those I got to ask, without spoiling it for the whoever somehow did not play the third one, but what did you think of the conclusion?
I get it. Like, I get why they did that, because they're just flipping off the fan base.
Yes!
But, like, it was also kind of, it was so Danganronpa-y that, like, it made sense.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that 2 ended, you know, like, the way that it ended, the cliffhanger kind of, I guess, feel to it, I thought it was very rude that they just didn't give us an overarching goodbye. But,
oh, you know, did you see the anime that they did?
I did not watch the anime. Is it good?
I will say it is, but it's not what you probably would expect, because it's not like the game, and it's like you're not watching Trials or anything. But the reason why I mentioned the game or the anime is because there were 3 animes that they did. They did one that was pretty much a retelling of the first game.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had a second set that was broken into 2 seasons. One was called the Before Arc, or the Despair Arc. One was called the Hope Arc. The Despair Arc was essentially how they all got into the position that they were in the first place. Like, it takes place when Hope's Peak still existed.
Uh-huh.
And you get to meet the characters like Chiaki and all the kids.
Chiaki, no! Sorry, my heart. I liked her a lot. And I also really liked Gunham.
Yes.
Oh, God, heart.
You would really like the Despair Arc then, though the name sucks, because honestly, you know from playing the second game that it's not going to end well. But the leading up to it, you still like, this is what they were all like before this all started and everything. And this is how they got to the point that they were like in the game. And then
that's going to hurt me.
Don't hurt, I guess.
Emotionally, I love Danganronpa. Like, I'm aggressively obsessed with the series right now. So, now.
But I should finish before. But also, don't forget. So, after the Despair Arc, there's the Hope Arc. Now, the Hope Arc is actually like a sequel to all the games before V3 came out. And so, if you weren't like, well, I was a fan of the ending of V3, but even still, even if you were, but you're like, but what about the world that I knew before that game? Basically, Danganronpa's Hope Arc is the sequel to that scenario. So, you do learn what happened to the class of Danganronpa 2.
Okay, I'm intrigued. You sold me on that. Good job, marketing.
Cornell, you're hired.
Yeah, you're hired for them. I'm going to watch that. Thank you. So I guess I'm not going to play Animal Crossing because I'm going to go binge a bunch of anime.
or you can play Animal Crossing.
What have you done,
Pernell? Yeah, play Animal Crossing, visit a friend's town, and then collectively you can watch Danganronpa while sitting in your Animal Crossing town.
See, that's very true. But I'm a sub person rather than a dub, so I need a raid.
I'm in the same boat. I will say, weirdly enough, like with the games, I ended up doing like the dub. But when I watched the anime, I had to do it subbed. It was weird. I'm the same way.
I was cool with the English voice acting. The voice acting actually was very good for the game. Well, general, most voice acting is really good, but you know what I mean? Like, the game, like the voices fit the characters, and it was fantastic. But yeah, I just feel like for the anime, I'd probably prefer watching it in Japanese.
So you said, aside from Chiaki, your favorite student was Gunham?
Yeah, I loved him! And his little hamsters of Divas of Destruction. I'm a hamster kid, okay? That's all I had was hamsters growing up. I wasn't allowed to have dogs or cats. So, like, to me, like I feel, you know, my heart, I'm like, I would be him. And then, you know, his kind of romance with the princess chick, like their will they, won't they thing.
Yeah, so you
and
never
they actually were, like, good to each other, and they were stoked and always hyped each other up. Oh, my heart.
They were fantastic characters. And honestly, Sonya Nevermind was pretty much one of my favorite characters for sure, too. Chiaki was, of course, my favorite, but that's the easy out. So I had to, it has to be a second.
Yeah, oh, Chiaki. You're all excited. I was like, oh my God, my heart, what he said. Okay. But yeah, so good characters. And then also from Danganronpa 1, I just really like Sakura. I'm just throwing that out there.
Okay. Yeah. Danganronpa 1 actually was just, I loved that game. I was a big fan of, I can't remember her name, tell me, but the really muscular woman who did the sacrifice.
That's Sakura.
Oh, that is Sakura. There it is.
She's the best one.
Yeah, she is. She was awesome.
Yeah, okay. We're in the same boat. Okay. So I feel like we're leaving everyone out. We're just talking about Danganronpa now.
I feel like an idiot because I've never played any of the Danganronpa games. So I'm sitting here deciding if I should invest my time in Princess Maker or Danganronpa, and I'm not sure which one I should pick.
Okay, Danganronpa is going to take you through a journey, and it's going to be amazing. And then Princess Maker, you're going to help make the journey, if that makes sense. So play both.
And if it helps.
I never feel like an idiot for not playing a game because I honestly play so many video games that I'm like, I'm doing my part. I just haven't played this game yet.
Yeah,
it'll come around.
I was recommended Danganronpa years ago, years and years and years ago. I think when it came out, it was like on the Vita, right?
Yes.
And I, like a big dummy, avoided it because I was like, oh, well, I don't have a Vita, so I don't want to borrow yours. This is like a long time ago with one of my friends, because you know that I won't actually get to enjoy the game and play at my leisure. So I just didn't play the series, and I was recommended it tons of times, and people were like, oh, you need to play it. And it took a pandemic for me to play it. So You have time, but get to it, chop chop.
And as you know, Danganronpa Decadence just came out, so you get better versions of the game than we play.
Yeah, you got all the cool board games.
Yeah, I'm looking to see if my GameStop has it or not, but I don't think they do.
Here's what you got to do, though. You got to get Shovel Knight in there and call it Danganronpa.
Oh, man, that'd be so cool, but I feel like their themes would not go along with our themes, but I'd really want to. Not at all.
Holy shit, one store within 100 miles has it, and it's my local store. So I'm going to have to go up there tomorrow and...
It's fate.
Yeah, also, son of a bitch. I guess I'm buying a game tomorrow.
You got Dangan roped in.
I see what you did there.
This is why I'm on the show.
Yeah.
Don't forget, Shovel Knight Woodston, he'd be super high school level excavator.
I can't get past the first boss in this game that we're talking about, but I can make puns.
Me neither, man. That's why I said, like... The accessibility features are so good in the game. I just put max damage, max health, and I just blew through the game and I enjoyed the story. And
I should have done that.
Did you collect all the, don't obviously reveal it. Did you collect all the memory fragments and stuff?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yep. I got all the doors and, did the sacrifices and what you have to do and found all the friends. And I think I found all the friends. There might be some friends I'm missing, but I don't know how many friends are in this game. Do you have any cameo characters in the game?
We have. Yeah, actually we do. So it's actually characters from the original Puzzle Knights. So like there's Tip and there's Key, and then there's two new characters in it.
I was going to ask, are there any new knights?
There's no new knights, but there's two really fun characters in it. I really like them.
I think one big challenge I'm going to have to deal with in this game, too, is like they have that mechanic where they move when you move, but if you don't move, they move slowly. Like sometimes
time works differently in the Pocket Dungeon.
I saw King Knight. That's all I need. That's my favorite character.
He's great.
Yeah.
I don't know. Plague Knight was my boy because I loved the Explodatorium level the most in the first game. So
King Knight's expansion is my favorite of the Shovel Knight universe because it's the most like Wario.
Yeah, King of Cards is so funny. It really did remind me of Wario Land. Wario Land 2, actually, if we're going to be specific.
Go ahead.
It was really, really good. The humor, everyone just threw everything hilarious into that game.
Nice. Yeah, I really, really, believe it or not, played many, many hours of Wario Land on the Virtual Boy.
And hours? Is that why you wear glasses, or have good eyesight? You're fine? Neither of us have glasses. Everyone else on the show, I think, has glasses.
No, I don't have glasses.
Wow, that's cool. High five.
Yeah.
I don't wear glasses either, but I feel like it's because I haven't played the Virtual Boy.
Yeah, that's
so.
It's not for everyone, but some folks don't have any problems playing it, like me, and I 100%ed the game twice.
Well, wow. I mean, from what I remember, that game was like one of like the three games that were heralded on the system as being really good. So,
true. If you had
that's want to play.
So. Yeah, 3 out of 12 games were worth playing.
I would argue that it's a little more than that, but not much more than that.
So off the top, I know Mario Land, Mario Clash, and the Mario Tennis.
Mario's
I played the tennis. It was interesting.
It's Mario's Tennis with apostrophe S. It's the only Mario Tennis that's titled like that. And it's the first one. It's the original Mario playing tennis game.
Oh.
And yeah, I really loved it too. That and Wario Land were the first games I had for, and then I got Mario Clash, and I actually didn't get to play it until way, way later, but I also liked Teleroboxer and Galactic Pinball.
I never played the boxing one, the Teleroboxer.
Teleroboxer is pretty good. It definitely has one of the greatest final bosses of all time, and like some really, probably the best music on the Virtual Boy, I would say.
That's until Shovel Knight gets released on the Virtual Boy, and then Jake's just going to blow your fucking mind with what he could do with a Virtual Boy.
I mean, his name's already in it, Vert.
Whoa.
Always on point.
Man. Funny.
The best puns are the most groan-inducing puns, so congrats.
I can dig it.
So I think Shovel Knight is actually going to be guesting in one of our friends' games. Pixel Noir is. Do you know if that's still happening or if that's?
Oh yeah,
I have no idea what's happening with Pixel Noir, so I can't talk. That
game was supposed to come out like 3 years ago, and I think they're saying next year is finally going to be the year. I hope so. Those are some more friends of ours. They've been like announced that game on one of our first shows. And now we're coming up on 9 years. So
maybe they're waiting on the gimmick album to release alongside it.
There you go. They're waiting for you guys.
We're only on 8 years.
It just goes to show you, though, just kind of the longevity that Shovel Knight has had over the years. Yeah. Though, because it feels like it's always. You ever have that vibe where, like, you know, in a sense, how old something is, but it feels like it's always been around. Like at this point, it feels like Shovel Knight's always been there in my mind.
I played Shovel Knight on the NES back in 87, I think. Of course, Shovel Knight's a classic, right?
Okay,
it's just forever. That's how it feels. Shovel Knight feels like something I've been playing my entire life, and I love that it feels so familiar every time you see the character pop up somewhere. It's like seeing a flashback or a memory. It's like, yes, Shovel Knight, thank you for being here.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome.
So how many cameos are planned? Any good stuff coming up?
I cannot disclose anything. So nothing. Okay, let's go this route. Nothing in the pipeline as of right now. If we ever go down that route again, we'll be sure to announce it on our social media pages and website. There you go.
Excellent, Dev. Excellent, you know, pivot there.
So thanks. What is the social media and the website? Give us the info.
Right, there you go. Let's look at there. If I can announce something, I will. Yeah, it's really funny. The fan Discord, they're called Order of No Discorder. That's really cleverly
very done.
They always tease me whenever I say that, because I say it like in every interview, because someone always asks something. And they're like, oh, let me guess, is it check out the website? I'm like, yeah, check out the website.
Well, I mean, if you didn't say check out the website, they'd look at you like, is everything okay?
I know, right? That's like, if I stop saying that, it's like, whoa, what happened?
Something's amiss.
Oh, man. Well, I know we've been chatting for quite a while. Is there anything you wanted to talk about with Pocket Dungeon that we didn't bring up, or about Danganronpa that we didn't bring up?
Oh, man, so many things for both. So for Shovel Knight Pocket Dungeon, I really appreciate you guys like having me on. I really hope you guys enjoy your puzzling adventure. My biggest advice is take your time with the game and keep an eye out for any secrets. Also, be open to exploring different ways of gameplay, because there's so many. So, yeah, if you want to go up to Stock 9 or Infinite, go for it. If you want to turn up the attack power, do that. Make your own way to... to really truly play the game. And yeah, it's available on Nintendo Switch, Steam, and PS4. And I'm really excited to hear about your puzzling adventures. There you go. Also, if anyone listening wants to check out our website, it's yachtclubgames.com, or our social media pages. We're twitter.com/yachtclubgames. Basically, on every social media page, we're Yacht Club Games. So go check us out.
That's a good sales pitch. I like it.
Thank you. And then also, Danganronpa is really cool, so go play it. But anyways, it's P.E. cool.
If you could find Danganronpa, Decadence, yeah, I'm amazed that the one store in my area has it.
It's meant to be.
$55. I got to do it.
Wait. What do you want? It's $55 from that store?
It's GameStop.
Oh, wow. I still think it's a good deal, because I feel like if you bought the individual ones on digitally, you'd pay more. So,
I played 30, I paid 15 and 15 for the individuals, I think.
If you waited on the PlayStation 4 sale, they were $5 each. That's when I got them all.
Well, that's
I'm just bragging. Sorry. Okay. Yeah.
Don't worry.
I'll have to wish list them on play. Now, should I play them on PlayStation or Switch? Now that's
okay. I would say Switch. PlayStation. Okay, so there are certain aspects of the game that were very obviously made for the Vita, like a touchscreen.
Yeah. Fair. Oh, yeah. So the Switch. Yeah, Switch has Switch full touch screen.
Yeah, I haven't played my copy on the Switch yet, so I can't divulge, but I'm going to wager that it does. Because
I hope so.
Because on the Vita version, you could either do the touch screen or you could scroll to the stuff. But as you got further into the game, you did not have a lot of time to do some of those things. You're like, can't find the word!
Yeah, I was so stressed. During Hangman, I was so stressed out.
Yes.
So, yeah, I would suggest that under the assumption that you can, because it was ported for the PS4. Everything else was great, except the mini game thing, which is a big part of the game.
Mm-hmm. So go with the Switch version. Got it.
Yeah, you're saving. Sure, you're saving $15 probably, but you're also not saving yourself a headache. So
yeah, because she's not lying about that Hangman's Gambit. That thing will piss you the hell off in normal circumstances. Can't imagine doing without the touchscreen.
So I got to get that on Switch, and then I got to rebuy the Shovel Knight amiibo so that I could get the fairy in Pocket Dungeon.
Yeah, for cosmetic reasons, but yes.
Is there only one fairy from an amiibo, or does each amiibo unlock a unique fairy?
So the Shovel Knight one's gold, which is the GameStop edition, exclusive, I think it was, and the blue, same thing, and then the rest of them are character, so Plague Knight Fairy, Spectre Knight Fairy, King of Cards Fairy.
Nice.
To my knowledge, I haven't visited the the fairy content in a very long time since we announced it, the release window in the Nintendo Direct. Nintendo Indie Direct. So I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's still what it does.
Well, now I have to restart the amiibo collection. You hear that, Dark Mika? If you're still hanging out in chat, starting all over again. Let's rebuild back to 155 of them.
Well, you only need those five, but you know.
Like, just stop while the stopping's good. Get your knight on. Great shovel. Like a real hero.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, geez. All right. Well, Celia, it's been fantastic having you on the show. Always love having people from Yacht Club on the show chatting with us. Tell Jake we say hi. Everyone else, stick around. We're going to play some music. We'll be back with more show. Chris Purnell, thank you for hanging out and keeping me company for this. Celie, do you have any final words before we wrap this up?
Thank you guys so much for having me on. It was really fun chatting about fun games and like my love of Shovel Knight Pocket Dungeon and Danganronpa. That's it. Thank you guys so much. And then one thing I also forgot to say was, besides following Yacht Club Games, go follow Vine. Russell's amazing. He's, you know, the brain behind Puzzle Knights, which became Shovel Knight Pocket Dungeon. So go give him a follow. He's at Vine2D. And that's all.
Purnell, what did you want to say? Go ahead.
I just wanted to ask, because one last thing I wanted to ask her, since we were talking about this game so much on the slide. If you had a high school level power for the show, what would it be?
I would say, that's so funny. What would be my superpower? Wait, hold on, rewind. Superpower in the Pocket Dungeon or superpower in Danganronpa?
Yeah, Rumpa, you'd be super high school level blank.
That's difficult. It would be a lot of things that, like, I would say super. Well, I feel like the easy route is super marketer. Whoa. I feel like, yeah, let's go with that. I'd be super marketer.
Super high school level.
What superpowers would someone in marketing like?
I could convince you of anything and be really good at writing copy and be really nice. I don't know.
Well, then one more time, convince us to buy Shovel Knight.
Do it.
That's very good. Very good. I'm sold. I'm gonna buy it.
Well, there you go. Good work, team.
Welcome back, everyone. Thanks for sticking around. Another huge thanks to Celia Schilling at Yacht Club Games for coming on and chatting with me, Purnell, and Chris. It was an absolutely fantastic chat. And neither of you degenerates were there, were you, Aki and Jacob?
No, neither of us did. Today, Junior.
Oh.
Maybe I was there. I just wasn't in the call. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Aki was just on the astral plane, you know, maybe present. We don't know.
She was just existing.
Well, sometimes for the various things, I'm actually in chat. I'm just not in the call. And I don't know if that was one of the things, because I'm never sure anymore.
Maybe. It was days ago. I can't remember shit. But yeah, this is it. This is our final show of the year. Last one was supposed to be the last one, but now we added this one because of that interview that we did. Plus, we have some reviews we got to take care of. And since we got that, figured we might as well chat news as well, because holy shit, did y'all see what's coming to Game Pass?
One of everything. The games that we're reviewing tonight is coming to
Game everything Pass. Everything is coming to Game Pass, I think. I think literally everything at this point is coming to Game Pass.
Every game?
Do you want to hear what's coming to Game Pass? Just this week, we got Ben 10 Power Trip, Broken Age.
Finally!
Broken Age, Firewatch, The Gunk, which we'll be talking about soon, which is a day one launch, Lake, Mortal Kombat 11, Paw Patrol, Mighty Pup, Save Adventure Bay, Race with Ryan, Transformers Battlegrounds, and Record of Lotus War, Deedlit in Wonder Labyrinth, which is another day one launch.
I'll just say this, because I have kids. The second Paw Patrol game, which is the one that's coming to Game Pass, that's actually the strongest out of the entire series, unless you want to do co-op, and I really hate that I actually have an opinion about this.
No, it's not coming to Game Pass. It's on Game Pass. It is there. All those games are there now.
That's pretty cool about Mortal Kombat 11 if you don't already have it.
Yeah. And I'm excited about the Record of Lotus War game.
Injustice is on there, isn't it too?
I don't know.
I thought, or maybe Injustice 2 was for a while. I don't know. I mean, that kind of makes sense that they tossed Mortal Kombat 11 on there. Probably something to hold people over till the next game that NetherRealm makes, which is rumored to be Injustice 3.
Mm. I thought whatever they were doing is kind of on hold because of the whole, is Warner Brothers selling? Are they not selling? Who knows?
I don't know. I had heard that they were still working on an Injustice title. So.
I wouldn't be shocked.
So, they just released the animated movie for it. So
did they?
Yeah. I haven't seen it though yet. Codes for that are hard to come by.
Hmm. Why don't you just buy it?
Get
a Blu-ray and support the Blu-ray community.
Because, first off, there's 4K codes floating around there, and it's just like, I'd pick it up for $10, but I'm not shelling out, like, however much they want for a 4K disc of the thing that I'm going to watch probably once.
That's you know? Fair.
I mean, to be honest, though, the Mortal Kombat titles that they've been releasing, those have been pretty excellent.
I'll take your word for it. I don't know.
I thought you watched Scorpion's Revenge.
No.
Oh. Wait, so you just bought it? Never to watch.
Do you know how many movies I own that I haven't seen yet?
I mean,
too many.
Do you know how many games I own that I haven't played yet?
Too many. Give them to me.
Yeah, so there you go.
Why? So you can never watch them or play them?
I mean, I have one movie in my collection I haven't seen yet.
Which one?
And it's sitting in front of it is a brand new one that I just got called Jiang Zia.
What?
It's an Asian animation. I think from China.
Is it porn?
I'm looking it up right now.
It's porn, isn't it?
Just in case it is.
Jiang space Ziya.
Slash Rule 34.
It made a wow. It made a shitload over in China. Like,
well, yeah,
impressively. Like, no, like $243.8 million American dollars over in China. That is a shitload. Damn.
I'm pretty sure it's probably based on one of the popular mythos. I haven't watched.
Yeah,
it, sure.
Wikipedia like, says it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably up there right next to, like, White Snake, which I got last year. Another very good animation. So I'm hoping this one's amazing. That's the only one in my collection I haven't seen yet. Oh, wait, no, and the one, what the hell is it called?
Wait, so are you getting these movies, like, legally, or is it, like, are you just downloading this?
Oh, no, I own the disc.
Okay.
I do occasionally watch them, I watch them. We'll just leave it at that. And if
Jacob's
I like
trying
it,
to
I
frame people on the show. Like, no, tell me about your illegal activities. Go.
Well, I mean, the UK actually did a study and found that people illegally downloading stuff actually tended to help sales because they ended up talking about it to their friends who would buy it.
Right. And on top of it, I mean, like, a lot of the people who illegally download also purchase stuff anyway, too, if they feel like, you know, that they got their money, like, not that they got their money's worth, but, like, you know, they'll throw the creators, like, some money towards, you know, with another project or something like that.
Yeah, I did that with The Secret of Kells. I did it with Whitesnake. I did it with a couple Asian films, which is now why I have a ton of them. I did it with Serenity, the Firefly movie, and now I own it and the TV show. I never would have heard of any of that shit had I not watched them, we'll say.
I wasn't trying to nab you on anything. I was just wondering if, like, you're watching the shit, like, via YouTube or something like that.
No.
My father-in-law does that. He watches a lot of, like, South Korean and Chinese action movies that many will never receive, like, a stateside release. But, like, when they do, he's just like, oh, can you put this in the Vudu account? Like, and it's just like, okay. And he's asking for, like, these random-ass movies that they sound cool. Like, I'll watch them when I'm dead. But
that's exactly how I do stuff. I have all of my movies I get for Christmas because I refuse to buy movies. I don't know what it is. I just refuse, probably because I can watch them.
So does Jake.
For free.
I used to buy tons of movies, and then I had kids, and then it just got progressively, like, I had way, like, I just got less and less free time to watch stuff. It was always a boon when I had to bottle feed any of the kids, because then I would just sit there and I'd watch movies in, like, 20-minute chunks.
We're talking about Game Pass, remember? We were talking about Game Pass.
Doesn't matter. Now we're on something else for the moment.
But, like there was one weekend, we ended up having, like, a RoboCop marathon. And then with Silas, my youngest, like, oh my god, he hated action movies and anything loud, or even like movies where people like would raise their voices. So I got stuck watching nothing but documentaries and like quiet dramas where like not a lot happens. That was ridiculous. Learned a lot though, because you know, documentaries.
Yeah. I put them on my list because I won't buy them. I used to buy anime box sets back when Suncoast was still a thing.
Yeah. Now that you've aged yourself, okay.
Yeah. I think those ended while I was still in high school. I think. At least around here, they all closed down. I think they lasted for another
there's couple still years. There's still one or two Suncoasts in America. Because the company that owns FYE, which is no longer Trans World Entertainment, I forget who bought them out, but essentially they just sit on the copyrights or the trademarks. And so like they're essentially FYEs with just a different name. Because Coconuts also still exist too.
Just gonna nod and say okay, because the only coconut that I know of is a literal coconut.
Is there a coconut on Game Pass?
I hate both of you. Five games are leaving Game Pass at the end of the month.
You know, I just tried to do a nice segue for you. You could have been like, no, Jacob, but here
and now you're ruining games. It by talking about it. Now you're ruining it. You ruined it. We had the segue. I started talking about Game Pass. And then you had to open your fucking mouth again.
Of course.
Five games are leaving Game Pass at the end of the month. Pro Evolution Soccer 2021, The Little Acre, and three of the Yakuza games, Yakuza 0, Kiwami 1, and Kiwami 2. So if you haven't played them, chop chop.
I think I bought all of those.
I think I have four. Yeah, I've got the three Yakuza games. I think I have the Little Acre. It's just the soccer one, and I'll live.
Yeah, I'll live without it too. Ubisoft announced that a Splinter Cell remake is in the works at Ubisoft Toronto, and that's about it. That's all we know.
It's far away.
I'm both excited and not excited for that, because I know Ubisoft is going the NFT route, and Ubisoft still hasn't paid for any of the shit that went down in the company. So it's like, I really want it because it's Splinter Cell, but I really don't want to support them that much because they still have a lot of bad people in charge. It's like, it's really hard to support them right now.
I don't know. We'll see what happens. Hopefully they turn around. People just shouldn't be in charge of anything, which is why the Jacob's not in charge of this show.
That's true. That's why he only left me in charge of the, you know, social media.
In charge of Facebook. And we all see where that's gone. Our Facebook page right in the shitter.
Oh, hey, let's see what amazing info on the podcast we have up on the Facebook page. Oh, here's the thing about making camera mods for your Game Boy camera. That definitely has lots to do with the podcast.
Yep. Yep. So, the Switch has sold over 1 million units in November, making it the best-selling console once again. It is the best-selling console for 35 out of the past 36 months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Nice. That doesn't particularly shock me all that much, considering you can get a hold of a fucking Switch, and it's nigh on impossible to get a hold of fucking anything the fuck else.
And it's cheaper than the other ones, too.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And I just...
And it's just like, if you don't like the controllers...
You got a Switch Lite. It came in the mail. I didn't get screwed over on the Amiibo deal.
Nice.
I'm excited.
Did you fire it up?
Yes, it works.
Oh, okay, then yeah. All right, good on you then.
Charged it up. And it's going to Aubrey for Christmas, and I can't wait to see her reaction.
Well, that's good.
I'm going to be the kick-ass uncle.
Ah, nice. Okay.
And then you can also play Cruisin' whatever. What did they call that collection on Switch?
Cruisin' Blast?
Yeah, that thing.
Because I got that, too.
I was going to say, because I saw that in your little pile of goodies.
Yeah, buddy. So anyway, the PS4 can now allegedly be jailbroken.
awesome.
And the exploit may work on the PS5.
Yeah, so that might open a can of worms.
Yeah, I'm all right with it.
Yeah, so am I. Like, you can destroy your system doing that stuff, but it can also give you access to a lot of cool things. So I'm all for it. People know what the hell they're doing, then fuck it. Why not?
Yeah, people know what they're doing and they're comfortable doing it. They should be allowed to do it. And that's the good thing is that they are. And that's why we have jailbroken PS4s. And I can only wonder, like, when we're going to get emulators running on there. And piracy is going to happen, obviously, which sucks. I'm more like, people are using RetroArch on the Series X to play PS2 games. I wonder what you could pull that's off awesome. On a PS4.
Yeah, I hope they can get it doing all the old PlayStation games from every generation. That'd be fantastic. I would buy one of those so fucking fast.
It'd be nice.
Be orgasmic. What the hell are you talking about?
I mean, orgasmic is generally nice. I mean,
yeah.
It's so much.
I don't know what kind of orgasms you're having over there, but
angry ones.
Well, sometimes I have those too, but
oh god. That's the news I have. Jacob, what do you have?
Supposedly Embracer is trying to buy Asmodee for over $3 billion.
Really? I didn't hear that one.
I got put, news was released yesterday, last night. But yeah, so pretty much if Embracer got that, then they would get like Ticket to Ride, Catan, Pandemic, Exploding Kittens, all sorts of crap. Plus also like all the other like, you know, tabletop games that Asmodee owns through Fantasy Flight. So holy crap. Like they'd be owning a ton of game companies, both, you know, video games and board games.
Yeah, it's a pretty interesting move that they're making.
If it goes through, supposedly it's going to close in the first half of next year.
Hmm. Embracer's just embracing all these other companies forcefully, financially. Anyway,
yeah.
What other news?
Actually, going back to that, people in the comments on Kotaku were saying that Asmodee's made like a bunch of questionable acquisitions, and so it's like a shell of its former self. So it makes sense that Embracer is going to move in and probably clean house, but
Just buying up properties and clearing out the employees,
much like Monopoly Madness, which we're covering later.
Glad we're not covering it right now, or that'd be a great segue.
It would have been a great segue, yeah. But anyway. North America has its very first video game union over at Vodio Games. They're the ones who made Beast Breaker.
Okay.
On the plus side, the management voluntarily recognized the union, so at least they're not going to be dickbags about it.
That's cool.
I'm glad there's finally a fucking union for them.
And I have last bits of news, both, of course, you know, Netflix related, because, you know, always got to close out on TV and movie crap. Now, this will be.
No, it's crap.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Henry Cavill, it's without a shirt on, is not totally crap. I mean, he's a good looking sack of man.
I guess.
You. Oh, yeah, that's right. Ew, a penis. Anyway, so this is going to be old news by the time that this launches, but Witcher Season 2 premiere leaked early. But of course, Season 2 debuts tomorrow, so whatever.
Yay, so that was worth talking about.
It was. And this one, which is.
You just wanted to say penis.
Yes, he did.
Penis. Anyway, speaking of things that are probably going to be absolute dick, Netflix is going to be adapting another video game classic, Mega Man.
Huh? What?
Yep. So I didn't realize that the rights still weren't with 20th Century Fox after Disney bought them out, because Fox was attached to it, along with another Assassin's Creed movie. And I know that Disney, axed Assassin's Creed 2, but nobody seemed to know anything about Mega Man. Well, it's resurfaced over with something called Churnin' Entertainment. I'm not really familiar with them, but the people who are writing and directing it also worked on the Paranormal Activity series. And Netflix is going to be distributing the Mega Man movie. So, yay.
I don't know how I feel about a Mega Man anything that isn't a game.
Is it going to be live action or animated? Or
supposedly it will be live action.
What the hell?
Ew. Yeah.
Ew. Yeah, thank you.
So after, I was digging Cowboy Bebop. I totally get why they canceled it. I totally get it. I was fine with it being its own thing. But with how they handled Death Note and a couple of other properties,
we don't talk about that one.
Especially the upcoming Resident Evil series that they're making. I'm just kind of God. I really just
want Community for a new season on Netflix. Come on, Netflix, do it.
Wouldn't Peacock handle that?
I don't give a fuck who does it. I just want more Community.
Okay. I mean, that's fair. I mean, you're in your movie territory at this point, so.
Yeah, I mean, come on. It's self-prophecy at this point. 6 seasons in a movie. Do the goddamn movie, someone. Anyway, should we get to reviews?
Yeah, we can.
Sure.
All right, we only have a handful of games to talk about tonight. First up is The Gunk, developed by Image Inform Games, published by Thunderful, released December 17th on Xbox One, Series X and S, and PC for $24.99, also available as part of Xbox Game Pass. The Gunk stars Ronnie, part of a duo of gritty space haulers struggling to make a buck as they chance upon an untouched planet brimming with life. They came in search of valuable resources, and it looks like they've hit the jackpot. Jacob Naki, you both check this one out. Who wants to start?
I'll start.
Yeah, that's fine.
There's not a lot that I'm going to have to say about it, because I've only played about an hour of it so far.
Well, there's only apparently 4 or 5 hours of it, so.
Oh, that's a shame, because I'm totally not currently playing it right now, even.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, Chris. I totally have been playing it this entire time. I really like it so far. To me, the whole cleaning of gunk is just therapeutic, I guess.
Well, what is the game? Don't just say that you like it. What is the game? Remember, we're reviewing it.
Oh yeah.
Should I? Do you want me to handle this?
Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay.
You played more than me.
Yeah. All right. So you essentially have these two people who are like space truckers. They go to these planets. They get these energy. Then they sell it off on the market. Go to another planet. Get whatever. Sell it. Rinse. Repeat. It's these two women that they've been working together for a long time.
They seem like a couple to me.
Yeah, they seemed like that to me too. And I was just are they a couple? Are they just longtime friends? Are they roommates?
I'm sure they're quite the roommates.
Yeah. But at least where I am in the story, it doesn't really make that clear. But you land on this planet and you just because of the signal that's, there's lots of energy here, but it's all concentrated. Ooh, let's go investigate kind of thing. And you land on there and you discover that there's this gunk that is sucking the life force out of the planet. And you use, the one woman has this vacuum cleaner attachment, it's like a catch all kind of thing. You can add a laser to it. It could suck up stuff. It can do all sorts of stuff.
A multi-tool.
Yeah, pretty much. And you just go around and it just sucks up all the gunk, and you could suck up metal to help build stuff, and organic and alien, and I forget what the other type of stuff is, but
fiber, metal.
Fiber, thank you. But the game never actually like discusses where the stuff goes, which I was always really curious because you were sucking up like tons of this gunk. Like it kind of felt like a mixture of like Mario Sunshine and Ghostbusters. Like I don't know.
I can see that.
Yeah, and I just like I always got this like I ain't scared of no ghosts. It's like you know sucking up all this stuff, and I don't know why because it's definitely firmly rooted in sci-fi. Without like a hint of, I mean, I don't know, maybe stuff coming later will like delve into like mythology and all that kind of crap. But anyway, so it's just like you're going around, you're sucking up this stuff and you're like bringing life back to the planet, as you go into all these different areas. Now the game does introduce mechanics slowly. Even though the controller scheme does say that you can run, you actually have to buy that ability. Which is kind of weird. But you know, obviously it's just like this is, right. But you know, you have to like get far enough in the game to like get the laser attachment and, which will open up doors for you because like you're hitting these energy spots. You also have to learn how to use your vacuum and how to throw stuff with the vacuum. And just, you know, I like how it like, it's a relaxing game just as like you go through this planet and make it beautiful all over again.
A lot of people are kind of ragging on this because they're expecting some kind of meaty action game out of this. And that's not what this is by any.
What do you mean, meaty action game?
Meaty.
I'm really confused why they even expected it to be an action game because literally none of the trailers ever showed it to be even remotely like a fucking action game.
Yeah, it's just like so far, like the biggest boss I've encountered is just a whole lot of gunk that creates these like little critter things that you just have to suck up and then like toss somewhere and then they explode. It's not like the biggest. Yeah, I mean, it's a relaxing game to play. I've been playing it while I'm above the influence, and which is also one of my main complaints with it, although I do recognize that I've been playing it above the influence, is that I'm getting lost a lot, and I wish that this game had like some sort of map feature, or at least like something where it could be like, hey, you need to go over here. Like, one of those kind of features that are like, they're pretty much standard in these types of games. Like, even Super Mario Sunshine, even that has like a map feature to it, even though it's absolute shit and doesn't help. thankfully there is there are beacons where you can teleport to various areas and stuff. So thankfully there is that feature because I'm not going to lie, as I was getting into chapter 3, I was getting real nervous. Because it was just like, I was recognizing that I was starting to need upgrades for stuff and I wasn't sure how to make it back to the camp because, the way back, like once you get far enough in chapter 2, there's no way to get back to the camp naturally, as far as I can tell. Again, maybe I was just baked. I don't know, but
it is a fairly linear game. It doesn't leave a lot to exploration. There are side routes that you could take that you could find resources to help with collecting. Oh my God, Coltrane, what is your problem tonight? Why are you all over me? My cat is just insane tonight. Holy shit. What is your problem? What? Meow? Yeah. Okay. What the hell was I saying?
I have no idea.
You were talking about how the game is linear and
yeah, it's linear. It felt like it just wanted you to keep going down this one path and it wanted you to just, I don't know, it just funneled you to where it wanted you to go. And it didn't feel like you had much choice in what you were doing but I guess that's just the purpose of the game is a more linear experience. You don't always need to have something that's an open world quest-a-thon.
Yeah. See, I keep getting lost because there's all this different side routes you can take. Sometimes circle back on each other, and yep. I have in the very first area, which is where I'm still in like chapter 1, I guess this is probably the prologue area, I've gotten, well, currently I am actively lost right this moment.
So I didn't think it was that easy to get lost. I don't know.
All right, I I would agree. I didn't think it was that. I mean, I've gotten lost, but not chapter one lost.
Yeah, I've somehow circled back to the literally the very first section that you're in before you can even absorb anything. Okay, now I'm out of it finally. Okay.
Ashley might have issues with this one. Anyway, the game's $25. What do the two of you think of this one?
Seriously? Oh. That's it?
It's $25 and available on part of Game Pass.
I love it.
I wasn't expecting a $25 price tag. I figured it would be a lot
more. It's so cute.
It's well done. I will say this, on my Xbox One, the game did actually crash in between chapters 2 and 3, enough that my Xbox actually shut down. I honestly got real scared. I was just like, oh my god, did this game break my console? Like, well, I guess I am getting an Xbox Series X now. but thankfully my console turned back on. But that was a scary bit. So the game does stutter a little bit, I will say, for playing on the Xbox One, so you might be better off playing on the Series X for this game. But I still highly recommend it. It's a lot of fun. It's very chill, and for $25, holy crap, that's totally a bargain. Like,
I 100% say people should buy this. Everyone should get this. This is a fantastic, cute little game. I love it.
It's good to hear positivity about it, because everyone online is just like, well, it's okay, but it's nothing remarkable.
It's so adorable.
I know. People expect too much out of games.
Are these also people who are complaining that it, like, there's no male characters in the game?
Probably.
Like, because I can see, like, immediately there being a bunch of, like, how come they're not dressed sexy? How come, like, this game sucks? How come I can't wank it to this? Like,
oh, God. Anyway, speaking of games you could wank it to, next game to talk about tonight is called Monopoly Madness, developed and published by Ubisoft, released December 9th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, PS5, PC, Stadia, and Luna for $29.99. Monopoly in a way you've never seen before, with shorter rounds, race against other players across the chaotic streets of Monopoly City, collect resources, buy and upgrade properties, mess with your opponents, and avoid their tricks to win the race for the riches. Jacob, tell us about your time with Monopoly Madness.
I mean, you were correct about, like, you know, a game being able to crank it too, because, I mean, Rich Uncle Pennybags.
Anyway.
What hurt my soul.
What a dilf. Or actually, since he's an uncle.
Anyway, the game.
So, this game is a little bit weird to describe, because essentially, the plot is that Rich Uncle Pennybags has decided that he's been such a good, you know, businessman, he's going to take a long vacation, and he needs somebody else to run his business. And of course, you know, that person is you, which sets up the campaign mode for a Monopoly game, which felt real weird. But what it is that it's a competition, and you have, like, I don't know. It kind of felt like they were trying to make us like an Among Us kind of game. And pretty much what you're doing is that you have to walk around and you have to collect these resources, and then you have a chance to buy property on the map, or you can steal it from other people, or it could go up for auction, and all these other kind of things. And you can upgrade your properties, and it was just this weird jumbled mess that felt like they were trying to make Among Us for Monopoly, or some sort of like a similar kind of game. And it was okay. I mean, like, the AI kicked my ass a decent amount of times.
Like, what are you supposed to do in the game? Because I'm like reading Monopoly. The description. It says, no more bored, roam the streets of Monopoly City to collect money, water, and electricity.
Yeah. And that's what you're doing. Like, the saying that there's no more board, but essentially it's now just a map with a limited amount of properties, and you run around and you try to buy up the properties. It's like they cut off, like, 80% of the Monopoly map or board. And that's what you're doing. And there's various backgrounds, like, you know, there's like four different areas of where all these properties are located, but it's still Monopoly. deep down. It's just they're trying, I guess they're just trying to make it more relevant for like today, and it's just,
does it succeed? Like, is it more fun to play? I know it has online. Is it
I never found anyone to play online with. I mean, I don't know if maybe the servers aren't up, but it's just like, you're supposed to be able to do couch co-op with this thing. My wife refused to play on this one, so she's very much anti-Monopoly, the board game. So, which is funny, because originally it was supposed to teach people about the evils of capitalism, but now it's become a capitalistic juggernaut. But it's just, yeah, I mean, it's, I thought the game was okay, but it, I mean, first off, you have to like Monopoly enough to go for it. And you have to have people who want to play this. And it was, I don't know, it's just like, it was okay, but I don't know who the who the real audience for this was. Like, I mean, probably like a family unit where like the kids are like, you know, above the age of 10. And you're just running around and trying to like, you know, buy up all the properties and screw over everyone else. And, you know, and within like a 6 minute period, but it just, I don't know. It wasn't a bad game, but I don't, I just didn't know what it wanted to be. As I said, like, it feels like it's, they're just trying to keep Monopoly relevant.
No.
And it's just like, I feel like the game, it has an idea of what it wants to do, but I don't think they really know who to make it for. Like, because it's just like, if you're gonna play Monopoly, just get out the board game, you know, so you can have like 3 hours of suffering and everyone hating each other by the end of it.
Well, I think this is for the people who don't have the 3 hours,
right?
It's but just at the speedier same time, quicker version.
Yeah, and I mean,
if hopefully, I had the 3 hours, I still wouldn't want to fucking play this game.
But it's just like, as I said, like, it's just, I don't know. I mean, because it's just like, hey, like, let's play this. And it's just, I feel like people would be like, I'd rather be playing something else. Like, I don't, yeah. Like, as I said, like, it's not a bad game. I just don't know who the audience for this really actually is.
No. I mean, well, it's sure, $30. I need sure a verdict on it.
Try it. I mean, as I said, it's not a bad game at all. It's just, I can't recommend buying it, but at the same time, it's not like, I don't hate it to be like, oh, fuck no. Like,
yeah.
It's just this weird Monopoly thing that everyone's going to forget about 2 weeks from now.
Fair. All right. Well, next.
Yeah, I don't know what else to how to put it.
Hey, sometimes you gotta move on, I guess. Next game to talk about is Space Warlord Organ Trading Simulator, developed and published by Strange Scaffold, released December 7th on Xbox One for $19.99, available as part of Xbox Game Pass. Contend with the cutthroat organ market, trade viscera with dubious figures, keep vampire leech organs from devouring the rest of the goods inside your cargo hold, flood galaxies with meat, make a profit. This is Space Warlord Organ Trading Simulator, the sci-fi body horror market tycoon you didn't know you needed. Jacob, what the fuck is this game?
That was an apt description.
I'm so confused.
Both the paragraph that you read and what the fuck is this game? Both fit the game very well. So, trying to explain this game. So essentially, it's a sci-fi game. Very like low key. There isn't like a whole lot to the user interface, but pretty much you are this person who is entering the market for organs, so people can have like new organs or replacement organs, and you have to fill up people's requests and, you know, get them the organs you need. And as you do this, you get more money to go buy other organs, or like you can buy off other sellers, so like they'll stop doing business for a day, or you can get, you know, access to better stuff. and you only have a limited amount of time per day because it's like the stock market, except it's the organ market. you just like, and you pretty much are just sitting there like fulfilling people's requests. But at the same time, you can go about and buy organs, and you can just sit on them and just wait till like the price of a heart goes, you know, like twice what you paid for it, and then go off and sell it to somebody on the market. So essentially,
do you have to worry about maintaining the items? Like, do you have to worry about coolers?
As far as I got in the game, I didn't have to, but I wasn't so much on the end of sitting on the organs. I did a lot of fulfilling people's orders and getting my my ratings up that way. Kind of like actual like stock market stuff. I'm really just not like. I've actually tried investing on stuff, and I'm really not a fan of the commodities market. Like, I get it, and like I just want my like stock crap. But anyway, I spend a lot of the time fulfilling people's orders. And there are ones where it's just like, oh, well, I need this done in 2 days, or like, you know, I have to have like a liver that is like exceptional quality or something like that. It has to have like a level above 90 or something like that.
You go and shank a person for that better liver?
As far as I'm aware, you don't. But I don't think the game makes you get into that area, gray area. But you know, as if the area wasn't already gray. But with this market, but I did have stuff where it's just like I accidentally bought the wrong thing, and so it, like I've got like a heart and a liver just sitting in my cargo hold, like hoping that somebody's going to come along needing it. And of course, you have to be really careful with like the stuff that you're accepting, because once you buy this stuff, hopefully like this person still wants it at the end of the day. And if not, then you're just stuck with like two nerve clusters that you spent like $7,000 on, and now you only have like $1,000 to play with because nobody wants nerve clusters right now. It is not a relaxing game. it's a really interesting game. It is a very what the fuck am I playing kind of game. But with the stuff that Strange Scaffold has released in the past, like when I finally do get an Xbox Series X, I'm really looking forward to that Airport Run by Dogs game that they have out there. But I did play, I was playing like before, like it's like Can Androids Pray or something like that. And that was a really bizarre game. Which seems to be what Strange Scaffold, you know, prefers to dabble in. And this is right at home with the rest of their damn catalog. So it's a really weird game. I would recommend try it, but at the same time, I'm also like, hell yeah, buy it. It's like totally crazy. And like,
seems like this totally is a game that's perfect for Game Pass.
Yeah, it's a definite, like, try it out on Game Pass, and if you love it, you definitely need to buy it. Like, it's bizarre, and I love it.
Cool. All right, well, that's it for you.
Thank God.
Yeah, no shit.
Ooh, done in record time, too.
I know. I told you this would be a quick one tonight. There's not much to do. So,
yeah, I know, and I didn't have that much news either.
Thank God.
Thank God.
Think of how much quicker it could have been if you didn't have that fucking movie and animation and whatever bullshit you and Aki talked about.
That was necessary, but no, the rest of the news was
Gone. It is, because it lets our listeners, all two of them, to know more about, you know, their hosts and stuff like that. You know, it gives them like an exclusive view into our lives that, you know, they definitely didn't want. Yeah. So no, we definitely have
speaking of views that people don't want, what are people getting to see from you over the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks until we're back?
2 or 3 weeks, the Facebook page is finally going to get updated. And the plan is to actually have it be updated to the point where like the Twitter and Facebook accounts will be both on the same page. And then we'll come back from vacation and we'll start putting out more episodes, and it's going to fall right back on the fucking wayside.
Yeah.
It'll be great.
Yeah.
I promise you it will be fantastic.
Do you have any final words before you leave for the year?
Happy holidays, all you fucks.
Next game to talk about is called Where Cards Fall, developed by The Game Band, published by Snowman, released November 4th on the Switch for $19.99. Where Cards Fall is a slice-of-life story where you build houses of cards to bring formative memories to life, create pathways through dreamlike spatial puzzles to navigate the insecurities and emotions of high school and beyond. Our friend Serlina covered this one, wrote in a review. This is what she's got to say. Greetings, SML friends, fam, and lovelies. It's your girl, Serlina, and this week I'm reviewing Where Cards Fall for the Nintendo Switch. Let's get on to the review. Don't let this game fool you. It is not a card game. It's actually an incredibly clever puzzle game. In order to solve the puzzles, you use your cards to build houses for your main character to climb upon to get to the exit. Sounds easy, right? I wouldn't go that far, as the game is very challenging and will make you think differently to solve these puzzles. How so? The game has a very inventive usage of space. You don't have to just account for width here, you also have to account for height, weight, and shape. It's a wonderful way to really get the spatial 3D vibe into a game. Put it simply, you use the triggers and sticks to select the cards and manipulate them to the exact space that you need in order to reach the exit of the level. The game starts out simply enough, and then gradually you're introduced to more challenges like height. You'll have to learn how to stack the cards on top of each other to help you progress. Another really interesting mechanic was when the cards began to take different characteristics. To explain further, in the beginning, your card stacks are flat on the top. As you progress, you begin to get different types of cards like sloped roof cards. I love these. It made me stay on my toes and continuously work in how the cards affect the main character as well as the world around you. Story-wise, the game is unconventional. As the main character, you experience the story through flashbacks. No one talks in these flashbacks unless you count the form of Simlish these characters speak. No subtitles either, so the only impressions you'll get on the story is what you can feel out. I'm not a fan of this, but I appreciate the intent behind this unique way of storytelling. After all, memories are subject to interpretation, especially so as memories fade with time, but you generally get the gist of things, kind of. Being completely honest, the story's not the highlight of the game, and I'm perfectly fine with that. The puzzles shine enough, and the graphics, let's talk about them next. The game is beautiful, utterly gorgeous. The puzzles are set on the stages that are essentially alive. There's always stuff going on in the background, and the set pieces are designed very well. I would take some extra time just to see what was going on in the background. Sadly, the characters themselves don't have the same level of detail, which is interesting. Their faces are small, but their profiles aren't, not to mention their environments are surprisingly detailed. Again, I'm going to chalk that up to narrative choice. What our attention focuses on in memories isn't always the dialogue. Oftentimes, it's the feel and the sights. Both of these are very well done here. Where Cards Fall is available right now on the Switch for $19.99, and should you buy it, I give this one a buy it. I thoroughly enjoyed my time with these puzzles, and yeah, the flashbacks were kind of weird and abstract, but aren't all memories like that? There's a lot of puzzles here that will keep you entertained for a while, so go ahead and drop the $20. You won't be disappointed. That one sounds really good.
Yeah.
I would like to see that come to other platforms, but I'm wondering if that just does like a lot of touchscreen stuff with the cards and all that stuff.
I wouldn't be shocked.
I don't know. Anyway, next game to talk about is Witchwood, developed by Alien Trap, published by Whitethorn Digital, released December 9th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and PC for $19.99. Witchwood is a crafting adventure game set in an expressive land of gothic fables and fairy tales. As the mysterious old witch of the woods, you'll explore a strange countryside, collect magical ingredients, brew sorcerous enchantments, and pass your twisted judgment upon a capricious cast of characters and creatures. After all, how will they ever learn if you don't teach them the moral of the story? Aki, what's going on in Witchwood?
Well, in Witchwood, you play as an old witch who doesn't remember anything, really. She's woken up because there's a goat that has somehow gotten into her home, and God knows how long she's slept. So she decides to get up and chase after it. Well, it's being controlled by Satan. Yay! Yep. And it's like, yeah, no, we had a deal. We had a contract. And the witch is like, what? I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. He's like, okay, well, come and unlock this door. She's like, it's just a slab of rock. It's like, you're the one who made the seal here. She's like, I don't remember that. That is the whole game. Her not remembering anything and having to figure shit out.
No more. Sounds like my life.
Yeah, it's.
Did you just snort? Funny. Did you laugh so hard you snorted? I heard that.
Yes, I do that occasionally.
I heard that.
I really like the writing, and the art is actually pretty good too. Sadly, I didn't get very far in the game, so I'll only cover the basic stuff here. Throughout it, obviously, as said, it's a crafting game. All the resources are constantly being spawned, so you're not going to run out of anything. You do have to pick up different objects in the world in order to use them, so you can get the crafting materials. Like, some things require shears in order to get them, which you get right away. Some things require trolls, some shovels, hand axes, etc., etc. And then you can use these materials to craft other items that you use to get different resources until you have whatever resource you need in order to get through to the next area. And the whole story is that you apparently sometime long, long ago made a contract with Satan to keep on to a girl's soul for who knows what reason, and in return you're going to give him the souls of the people that wronged the girl, and you are sent out to go collect them fucking souls because you have spent way too long without giving Satan his fucking souls. So that's where you go. Sadly, I got maybe an hour into the game. I probably played it for longer than that, but I started having graphical glitches, really bad ones that haven't been fixed yet.
Yeah, you uploaded a video, and it's definitely some kind of graphic glitch with the game. It doesn't look like it's an intentional filter of any kind, especially as you would walk away to a certain point and it would just stop, and then you would turn around and it would just pop right back, like some kind of weird fucked up filters going on. So
yes, I had a fog effect basically happening that obscured everything that was going on in it, and there was one whole area that was pitch black that wasn't supposed to be.
Yeah. Carnage is saying he didn't have any graphic issues on the series, so I wonder if it's just something with the Xbox One.
That could be. I'm playing on a 1S, so.
Well, we will keep people updated if there's any updates on the game that fix that, or if there's any issue or any statement on what's causing the issue. We did send the video to the publisher, and hopefully they could take a look at it and figure out what's going on. But as it stands, $20 on it, what do you think?
Whilst I like what little I've played, I don't know how the game goes, so I'm going to have to go with just a try it for now, because I don't know what the rest of the game holds. Yeah. It could get really good. It could go straight to shit. I don't know.
Yeah, fair. So hopefully, maybe in 2022, we will take another look at this one, and hopefully it'll be fixed and working for you.
Yeah, hopefully. I'll try it the moment I get home.
All right. Next game is Luna, Sentinel of the Shards, developed by DigiArt Interactive and Infusion Interactive, published by DigiArt Interactive, released November 30th on Xbox One for $19.99. 16th century Latin America, mysticism, magic, and the unknown plague the land. Assume the role of Inca demigod Luna in this epic action RPG as you try to defend a mystical shard that possesses the power of Earth. Serlina covered this one as well, and let's see what she's got to say. Hello, SML friends, and other degenerates. It's me, Serlina, and I'm reviewing Luna Sentinel of Shards for the Xbox One, so let's get to it. I must applaud Luna on giving some not-so-subtle shade to typical storytelling right off the bat. Luna, the titular character, says in the beginning of the game that you've heard stories about Greek gods and mythology, and isn't it time to hear other stories? By the gods, yes. It is so time to hear about other stories. Don't get me wrong, Greek mythology is my jam, but it's not the only mythos out there. Hell, it's not even the most well-defined mythos. I was so jazzed up to experience a new story and learn about deities. Sadly, the game doesn't live up to the hubris. Luna is your typical ARPG, which means you'll get weapons, you get magic, you get the abilities to use as you see fit. You level up, things get stronger, enemies drop loot that you can use or sell, you smash things. Sometimes there's stuff in the things you smash. Rinse and repeat. We've seen this done before many times over. There's not a whole lot special about it. It's very Diablo-esque, so if you've played that, you've got the game style and combat down. Moving on to the story, actually, if it it's Diablo-esque. I'm interested in this one. You play as Luna, who is the daughter of an Incan goddess, Pachamama, and some Spanish conquistador. I hope I'm saying it right, but I'm probably not.
If you're not, it's still fantastic.
P-A-C-H-A-M-A-M-A, Pachamama.
Yeah, I'd have to say that looks like that should be premised that way.
Yeah, and you're the daughter of Pachamama and some Spanish conquistador the old girl put on since he rescued her. Then Pachamama goes to destroy a meteor that also winds up destroying her physical body, but her essence is fused with shards of the meteor. Luna has one of the shards, and it's up to her to find the other shards and defeat the brewing evil in the land. Yeah, that didn't make a ton of sense to me either, but whatever, games don't need to be historically or mythologically accurate. They do, however, need to be compelling, which unfortunately this game isn't. The plot is bare bones, which would be fine if the other elements to the game were to balance it out, but let's talk about the gameplay. I alluded to this earlier, if you're familiar with any action RPG, especially on a console, you've pretty much played this game. You've got skills that you can allocate your skill points to, which the game doesn't even tell you in its tutorial how to access your skill tree, but you could figure it out. There are three skill trees, combat, ranged, and magic. Your girl prefers combat-based skills, but it doesn't really matter, as any skill points used all pulls from the same MP base. In my opinion, there's a bit of input lag, so these skills don't activate immediately. For the combat and ranged skills, this wasn't a big deal, but for the magic skills, it could be deadly for your character, as the damage you deal is nowhere near the damage you receive from the enemies, which tend to swarm you. This is one of the things I don't like. Another thing I don't like is the targeting system, which is just straight up trash. You'll have one baddie targeted and you're swinging, casting, shooting away, and the HP isn't going anywhere because you haven't actually targeted the baddie in front of you. You've targeted the baddie that's slightly adjacent, which is disgusting. Also, one mechanic that you have is a never-ending health potion. Okay, cool, but it has a cooldown. Sadly, due to baddie swarming, my gameplay was reduced to get swarmed by baddies, dodge and roll to heal, come back to swarm, take a few swings, dodge, roll away, wait for the health potion to cool, rinse and repeat. Kind of boring, to put it simply. Sentinel of the Shards is available right now on Xbox One and other platforms for $19.99, and should you buy it, I would give this one a try. I'm a fan of ARPGs, but this one feels like any other one that I've played already, and those are, for the most part, better than this one. Maybe pick it up on a sale or gift for a young gamer.
Well, that's a shame.
Yeah, that one looked interesting to me.
I'll still have to check it out, because once you put up the link anyways. Because that sounds like that could be kind of cool.
Yeah, well, we got one final game to talk about tonight, and that is Far Cry 6. We're going to take a revisit at this one, talk about it a bit more. Developed by Ubisoft Toronto, published by Ubisoft. Aki, tell us, what more did you want to say about this game?
Oh, I decided I hadn't actually gotten to the DLC that they have out for it last time, so I wanted to focus on that, and that's what I've played for the past day and a half-ish. In it, you play as Voss from Far Cry 3. You know, the best character in everything, really. he's the most well-known character at this point because he's amazing. And basically, it is a rogue-like, I believe is the right term for it. It's starting after Jason stabs him in the chest when he supposedly dies. That's where it starts. And you're brought into your brain, which I assume is firing synapses before you die. And I'm not entirely sure what they're planning with this. But then Citra starts talking to you, which is Voss's sister, for anyone who somehow doesn't fucking know this. And he's just running around trying to find the shards of the sword that Jason gets at the end of the game. Every time you die, you restart it. And if you've unlocked any of your permanent perks or unlocked any weapons, you can still go in and some of the weapons are free, some of them you have to pay for, I assume. I haven't actually managed to unlock any of them because they're all behind trials that are really fucking hard because you die really fucking easy. But then your character also has upgrades themselves, which are based on the 7 deadly sins, which is fantastic. I loved that. Sadly, the upgrade tree isn't like what it was in Far Cry 3, because I liked that upgrade system. Instead, he gets the permanent upgrades based on the 7 deadly sins, which, like, one of them allows you to have more health. Another allows you to keep more money when you die, so you can start with more money at the start of the next game, which is awesome, so you can buy weapons and such. But then there's also upgrades you can get either from chests or from killing enemies. Sometimes a heart will appear, and he can pick that up, and it'll give him... You can, before you pick it up, you can look at it, and it'll tell you what that heart will give you. And you can either take that upgrade or you can sell it, because you only have room in total for, I think, 10. But you have to buy all the unlock spaces after the first one. The first one's free. After that, you better buy them, motherfuckers. And they get expensive quick. and it's just, it's really... The whole world is just completely fucked up. Because, again, it's all on its head. This isn't a real place. So, like, he has a giant fucking volcano just sticking out of fucking nowhere. He has sharks and other fish floating in the air. The ocean is blood. The doctor's house that gives you all the good drugs in it, his house is in the middle of the water. It's sticking out of the water, and it's sticking in the water because it has become reflected on both sides, and you might have to swim into the water to get into the house, which can drown you, as I found out, because I could not figure out how to fucking do any of that. the one issue I really have with it is that it doesn't have any auto-aim to it, and I've gotten used to that in the series, where it automatically pulls it towards the enemy. The DLC doesn't seem to have any of that, and I didn't realize quite how much I used that. apparently, it's a fucking lot. Because the bad guys, they kill the shit out of you pretty quick, because you do not have, like, you don't start healing when you're out of combat. You actually have to use the healing syringes, which is... I believe similar to how Far Cry 3 went. I don't think you just started healing in Far Cry 3 either. But once you're out of healing syringes, unlike Far Cry 3, you can't just heal some of your life force at that point by, you know, relocating a finger or whatever. God, I hated that animation. instead, you just fucking die like a little bitch, and you have to start it all over again. And it's both really fun, because I like the visuals of this place. It's amazing looking, because everything is just so weird, and it's fantastic. I love that. But I also really hate having to start at the very fucking beginning over and over and over, because I'm bad at it.
Oh, jeez.
So, yeah.
Well, the DLC is available for $15, or it's part of the season pass for $40. It's hard to talk about the season pass as a whole because the other two parts aren't out yet.
Yeah.
But for $15, what do you think of this?
I'm totally for it. This will definitely give you plenty of hours worth of fun, because after you beat it the first time, there's 5 different levels of being inside his mind, because you can always go deeper into his mind, and each time enemies get harder and harder, etc., it's just increasing difficulty. But you actually have to beat it on the hardest, and that requires you to go through the other ones, from what I understand. I haven't even managed to do it in the first fucking one yet, so it gives you the time, the dollar per hour value very, very easily.
Nice. Also available with the season pass is Blood Dragon Classic Edition.
I was hoping that was. I didn't know if it was, because I saw that when I opened the thing today that they were talking. They had a message when you start the game, and it mentioned Blood Dragon. I was like, oh, I wonder if I have that. I didn't know if I did. Oh, that's my favorite Far Cry game.
Yep, that is included. So you... You do indeed get that one.
Well, I can already tell everybody how that's going to go. It's fantastic. It's worth whatever money they put on it. because I 100%ed that originally, and again, it was my favorite one. I'm sure they only upgraded the graphics and they didn't bastardize it at all, so it should be fine.
Yeah, I'm not too sure what all they did with it, but there you go. All right, well, that's it for this episode. Made it through. We're done for the year. Holy shit, it's over. We're fucking finished. Big thanks to Celia Schilling again at Yacht Club Games coming on chatting about Shovel Knight Pocket Dungeon. Thanks to Chris and Purnell for coming on to hang out with that interview. And thanks to you and Jacob for being here doing news and reviews.
Yep. Oh, and I remembered I was there for that interview. I was just in chat.
Oh, you were in chat.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Do you have any final words to end it for the year?
Oh, happy holidays to all you cocksuckers and have a good new year.
Oh, wait. They wanted sleigh bells.
Hey, they want sleigh bells.
We're back because we have more shit to do. Jacob and Chris are here. How are you two doing?
Why do you sound like you're jerking it as you're talking to us?
I'm just
so happy.
The show won't end. Why can't we go on break?
I would just like to say it really didn't help you. You're like,
We've been dragged kicking and screaming back into the podcast.
Yes, we have two more games to talk about because they showed up the day we go on break. Go fucking figure. But we're going to get through them. We're going to talk about them. They should be pretty quick to talk about. The first one is called Kiwi, developed by Stone Wheat and Sons, published by Sold Out Sales and Marketing, released December 15th on Xbox One and Series X and S for $24.99, previously on Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC. Welcome to Kiwi, the cute and chaotic co-op postal puzzle game where the mail must flow and it's up to you to keep things running. Play as Jeff and Deborah, two small Kiwi birds in the newest hires at the Bungalow Basin Telepost Office. Jacob, what's going on with Kiwi?
So pretty much, I mean, it's as the description says, you're playing as these two different Kiwi, and you can either do solo or co-op. And there is online co-op, so thank God, you know.
It was a bit confusing to get going at first, but once we got it going, it seemed to work all right.
Yeah, the menus are not particularly intuitive, which unfortunately follows along with the rest of the game. And so, but pretty much you're playing these two Kiwi, and you have to do all these like little mini games, which liven things up a bit. And of course, there's tutorial levels which explain like this is what you do and this is how you go about doing it. And it walks you through it, and then you can, after you've done the tutorials, you can do normal levels for it. And there's multiple games, like, which is pretty much just, you know, there's one where you have to take these sound recordings, listen to what it is, put it together, like...
Like ransom note style.
Yeah. On a piece of paper and then send it out. Or there's ones where you have to put letters together, have those get sent out. And there's also ones with getting packages, and you have to get the thing into the box, affix particular stickers on them, like one for address and then one for like if it's heavy, if it's perishable, if, you know, I think the other one's light. And some other crap to go along with it. And yeah, and you pretty much just have to get it done within a certain amount of time, and then you get graded on it, and then you get stamps, which I guess unlock stuff.
Customization stuff. You could,
yeah, like yeah. Outfits.
Yeah, okay. You could drop 20 tickets to get like pineapple sunglasses, stuff like that. You could find collectibles and levels. I did get the pineapple sunglasses. I don't fuck around with this. this game is frustrating. It is on
multiple levels. It really, at first I thought that this was just going to be something like along the lines of Overcooked, which, you know, I readily enjoyed back in the day. And this one, there's a lot of reading, not so much reading involved, but you have to be able to identify like what the words are on each of these little labels. And some of them are on the, like the far side of the screen. Due to the camera angle, they're not exactly easy to see.
No.
And like, you know, I am an old man at the age of 36. And as Joe and I were doing this, I'm just like, dude, I can't read like 3/4 of these labels. Like,
yeah, I'm like yelling out to you what to do.
Yeah, like Joe ended up having like, to yell
words
to me,
over
like,
here,
oh,
go to the top right, get the thing. It's, yeah, it's not really complex once you get into it. It's just, I think the game throws too much at you too quickly. Like each of the first three, we made it to the third stage online, and that's when I said fuck this and quit because it pissed me off. It required you to print a label based on a package item. You had to follow a code on a map, print out the label, put the label on a box, find the proper sticker, put the sticker on the lid, get the item in the box, put the lid on the box, determine if it goes north or south. And it wouldn't go. Everything was right. Everything was correct. We sent the thing, and it wouldn't go. And I'm like, you know what?
We had to like somehow attach a new lid, maybe.
I don't know. I didn't want to try because it was frustrating me. We had spent like 5 minutes learning that game because each of the stages is basically its own new game that you have to learn. So do not skip the tutorials, my friends. It leads to pain and sadness in reloading stages. I do appreciate that it keeps the game fresh by changing things up, but I wish it would do like, you know, the first stage was hitting letters on a keyboard. You know, give me a couple stages of that in a row so I could learn it. And then throw me something new. Then throw me the letter building with the ransom note style thing and throwing it on the bird. Give me a couple stages of that. It feels like the progression in the game is really wonky.
Ramped up too much, huh?
Oh my god, that package stage. Jesus. I was the fifth time that package got sent back. Jacob, what did I say? Fuck this, I quit.
Yep, and then he rage quit. I won the level.
So this is really funny to me because my day job is on a support line for a shipping website, and so like literally all day, all I'm doing is dealing with merchants who have had like packages sent back to them like 5 times because they didn't do it right, kind of stuff. So like, I was ill prepared for exactly how in tune with like my life this game is.
Oh shit. Well, it's $25 right now. Jacob, what do you think about it?
I'm sorry, how much?
$24.99.
I like the concept of it. I honestly think that like the gameplay ideas are interesting and worthwhile. However, they definitely need to do something for people whose eyesight is not that great, because a lot of those mini games were like, you have to be able to read what's on those labels. And it's just, as I said, because of the weird angles that it was at and how small like the printing was, I wasn't able to really figure out what the heck everything was. And I really had to have Joe pointing out like, oh, you need to be up in the right hand corner while I'll be down here in the left.
Don't worry. Like, I was doing the same thing with stuff. Ashley. I'm like, just hit the thing, hit the thing. All right, now hit it. Now 1, 2, 3, go. Boom. All right. Good job. She's like, I don't know what I did.
So that being said, I'd recommend it as like a try it. If it comes to Game Pass, definitely check it out. See if it's up your alley. Otherwise, I'd suggest waiting for a sale on this one. It has a lot of good concepts going for it, but it really needs to be tweaked. And
the progression needs to be worked on. Chris, do you have any thoughts on it?
Yeah, I played the Switch version. I found it adorable, for one. I think it cannot be overstated how freaking adorable this game is. I didn't get to play too many levels, but yeah, it seemed all right to me. But again, I actually come from a long logistics background. So like doing like menial tasks, like in the most difficult way possible, like just really resonated with me. So I like really appreciated that. I do agree. The text is too small and the instructions are too unclear on certain things. I mean, walking up to something and like maybe having it highlight the button you're supposed to push, you know, is okay, but I really would appreciate more arrows, basically. I think that on the Switch, the frame rate gets a little sluggish when things get a little too busy, but again, I really like the look of the game. I love the personality of the game, and I like that, you know, I don't know if you looked at like the overtime shifts, but there's like music and like cooking and conveyor belt chaos, which I didn't try yet, but that seems pretty, like, I really am like impressed with
the amount of stuff.
Yeah, but I also do agree that it would be nice to have like a little, to be able to do a little more of the same. I mean, we are dealing with menial logistics work here. We should maybe, you know, let people type out more complex things or something. And also, you know, I don't really feel like the timer running out is like a great motivator. I think that it should be a little more maybe free and open and just use the time as like, you know, just to be able to get the best score, but not ultimately be like, because, you know, yeah, like learning this typing stage and stuff and like the timer's going down and I'm like, ah. You know, but you know, you get into a groove and it's good. Yeah. I didn't get to try this multiplayer myself.
The game shines in multiplayer. This is definitely something that you want to have two people playing. If you're going into this solo, I would just hold off completely.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that this is a great game to play with just that one other person and you're tired of Overcooked. and also just to let you know, with the $24.99 price point, the physical version on the Switch is on sale right now at Walmart for like $28.99. So
there you go.
If you're going to pick this one up, I would recommend at least picking up the physical version. So you've got a game that, you know, will sit on the shelf instead of being a permanent digital purchase.
There you go. All right. Well, we got one more game for real this time. Death Smiles 1 and 2, developed by Cave and City Connection, published by City Connection, released December 15th on Xbox One and PS4 for $39.99, coming soon to the Switch. Store page says the 30th. It's supposed to be out now. I don't know what the hell's going on, but it's coming eventually. Angel swooping across a disastrous sky. The shoot-em-up of gothic horrors is back. Chris, I'm glad that you're here because I know you know everything about shmups. So give us some history on what Death Smiles 1 and 2 is.
So I don't have a ton of history on this one, honestly. I believe that it's a it's because it's a little obscure. I think let me just verify one thing right quick, because I think this is a cave shooter.
Yes, it is cave. Yep.
And it's a, as opposed to like a lot of the more popular cave shooters, it's a side scroller instead of a vertically scrolling one. This one, I think, gets by mostly on the theme, which is, of course, you know, kind of gothic fantasy. You know, you're fighting dragons. You're you have a bunch of different fairy-like or Valkyrie-like, like, you know, characters and stuff. And beyond that, I can say that one of the fights involves being chased by a 300-foot cow.
Yeah, yeah, it does. and then the second game gets weird.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you played the second one?
I haven't, because I only have the first game on Xbox 360. I actually had the limited edition with that came with the faceplate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I believe the second one was digital only on the 360. Neither of them were part of the backward compatibility program, which bummed me out. Uh-huh. But hey, now they're here, and that kind of makes sense. The second game is Christmas themed.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, I heard about that.
Where Satan Claus causes havoc, and you have to like take out a fucking reindeer.
It's fantastic.
It's batshit crazy, and I love it.
I love caves so much, and I love when they get weird. Like, and yeah, that's kind of like what it is. It's like it's cave being silly. But also providing just those giant purple bullets, you know, waving across the screen, you know, that classic bullet hell action.
And there are lots of bullets flying at you. I made it through both campaigns earlier today.
Sweet. And
I had a rich kid strats it because it got hard after a while.
Yeah, you kind of have to. I mean, that's shooters, though. It's like shooters that are good, like, you know, you'll rich kid strat your way through it the first time, but it's never about the first time. It's about like the 200th time, you know, where you finally, you know, I was like, oh, I finally got through it deathless, and now my score is like this high, and you know, like getting through it on 1C and like all this stuff, and like the best shooters always hold up to those replays, and that's what's great about cave shooters, is that they almost always do, and I feel that way about Death Smiles for sure.
Yeah, and what I like is that they have unique stories for each of the characters that you could pick through the game. Unfortunately, there is some DLC that you could pick up. I kind of wish it was included with the game. Mm. They have five characters in a bundle for $25. It seems steep, but, you know, there's added achievements. I really wish that stuff was included in. If considering the cost of this bundle is $40, I mean, it's...
I feel like they're maybe taking a page from Darius Burst Chronicle Savior there, because, that game. I bought it on, like, an extreme sale, where it's like I got everything Darius Burst Chronicles CS had for on Steam for like $47, but it was like $120 or $30 value.
Yeah, geez.
Because of all the DLC that they have at like premium price. So
that's how Jacob's gonna be with Hot Wheels.
Oh boy, can't wait! It's gonna be like real Hot Wheels.
Oh man! So Chris, this one's sitting at $40. Is it on your wish list? Are you buying it? What do you plan on doing?
Absolutely, I'm going to buy this one. I've always wanted to play the second game, and you know me, I've always been neglectful of the old Xbox. And in fact, I only picked this one up a couple years ago because a friend was selling his whole Cave collection, and so I was like, hell yes, I'm buying that.
Oh, wow. And
so
what else did you get?
I don't have it in front of me, but I got one of the Dodonpachi games. I got Mushihime Sama Futari, Death Smiles, like I said. And a couple of others that I'm like blanking on the names right now. I'm on the spot, so I can't. But
I'm jealous.
Yeah, like just that Mushihime, just the Mushihime Sama Futari by itself now is like worth as much as I paid for the whole thing. It's about 7 or 8 games.
God damn, and I am jealous.
He also sold me Gradius 5 and like a couple of PS2 games in there as well. R-Type Final, I think, was in there. Maybe I have to check. Anyway. Yeah.
I can only imagine what your collection would go for.
Oh, God, I don't even know. But you know what?
$5.
Video games have always...
GameStop.
I know, right? GameStop.
Sorry,
like,
we don't take those games for trade-in. The 360 games will give you a quarter each.
We'll just take them in for free and then just, throw them in a pile somewhere.
We're going to send them to a farm up north, and it's going to be able to run around
for
with
you.
Those other ones.
No, for real, like, GameStop, if somebody comes in with, like, a bag of games and GameStop won't take them, they'll sometimes be like, oh, I can just take those off your hands. And, they won't end up getting sold, but sometimes the employees will just end up with them. And that's actually how I secondhand ended up with a caseless, albeit, copies of the 4-pack Legend of Zelda on GameCube. Battalion Wars, and freaking Fire Emblem.
Oh, Jesus.
Someone brought them to GameStop, was just like, I just want to get rid of them, I don't care. And they just, it was just freebies.
Damn.
I know.
Jinx.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's the end of the show. Hopefully for real this time.
All right, I've got my sleeping cap and pajamas on, and I'm like heading back to bed. I've got like my little cup of water. Well,
do you have any final words for the year?
Stop calling us.